Leaving his fiancée, Mina Murray, to spend some time with her best friend, Lucy Westenra, Jonathan Harker, a young lawyer, journeys to Transylvania on business. Dracula.
Eyes everywhere. Eyes. Red. Blood. Red. Eyes. No.
Hush now, Jonathan. Hush. Easy now. It's a dream. Nothing.
Blood.
You're not afraid to travel.
I beg your pardon, sir.
We are afraid. We only travel for necessity.
I have no reason to be afraid, sir.
No reason, he says.
You go far, Englishman?
I am a lawyer with business in your country.
Laws won't protect you. Nothing can protect you.
Not true. Not true. You can be safe.
Who is the business with, sir?
Account, sir.
Account?
You know what day this is?
I don't understand.
St. George's Day. Tonight, midnight, all evil things in the world will have power. Are you a Christian?
Yes, madam, I am.
Then pray.
This Count, who is this Count, sir?
Count Dracula, is this your business?
Don't go, I beg you, or don't go.
I have business with him, I am expected.
Please, before you leave us, take this.
A crucifix is no use. Garlic, maybe.
Holy, perhaps.
For my sake, sir. For your mother's sake. For your soul. Take it. Wear it round your neck. Please, sir.
My church says these things are idolatrous. Faith is enough.
Wear it, sir. Wear it in good health.
Very well. To please the lady.
Crucifix!
I need my
crucifix! Easy now, Jonathan. Easy. Here. Take mine. Hold it if it gives you peace. Hold it.
Every night, Sister Agnes, I see such things. Such things. Hear such things. Help me to sleep. I am so tired, and so... I dare not sleep, sister.
We pray for you. We are all praying for you, Jonathan Harker. We pray for your peace, to escape the horror in your mind. Listen.
Thank you.
Ah, you're right, welcome, miss. 'Tis a pleasure...
Murray, Mr. Arkin said we were to show you into his room the instant you came. Is there news of Mr. Harker?
Nothing, Mr. Pensniff. Nothing.
Come along with the copying. No slacking now, I shall know it. Through here, Miss Murray. Miss Murray, Mr. Hawkins has requested.
Oh, excuse me, my dear. Do sit down. And Mr. Pensniff, you may have this copied, if you please.
Yes, sir. Yes, of course. I would just like to make bold to say how we're all hoping to see Mr. Harker sooner rather than later, miss. Excuse me, sir. Ma'am.
Jonathan is well liked, my dear. Very strange, Miss Murray. Not a note, not a letter, not a sound, not a sight... But he's in safe hands, of course. Count Dracula is well known in Transylvania. But we checked his credentials before sending your fiancé. No harm will come to him, I promise you.
No, of course. I just became worried. He said he would write.
We are only just engaged, as you know, and to be separated so soon... not easy, sir.
I regard him as a son, my dear. I have great hopes. And now with you alongside him, I double my hopes.
Mr. Hawkins, how kind you are. The business he is in is not dangerous.
Oh, not at all. A matter of transferring some funds. Buying some property. Of arranging for some shipments. Titles, deeds. English law and their law. Unraveling the one from the other. Good experience for a common man.
I see.
I assure you, as soon as I have news...
Yes, of course.
Nothing to worry about, eh? You told me you had a friend who went to Whitby. Sea Air. Why not join her? I can telegraph you when he reports to us. I promise you.
Welcome to my house, John Harker. Welcome. Come freely. Go safely. Leave something of the happiness you bring.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula. Come, sit down at the table and let me bring you wine. My people are not available now, so I shall wait on you while you eat.
You will join me, sir?
No, excuse me. I have already dined. Listen to them. The children of the night. What music they make. When you have eaten, sleep.
And tomorrow we begin work?
I shall be absent for a while, excuse me. The necessary papers will be in the library downstairs. I would ask you not to go elsewhere in the castle. It is an old building, dangerous in part. Doors locked in some part. Did you see with my eyes and know with my knowledge, you would better understand. Our ways are not your ways. From you I will improve my English also, so when I come to my new London estate, I shall not seem a stranger.
You speak English very well, sir.
You flatter. The house you have found?
Is old, very old, in Purfleet. 20 acres surrounded by trees and walls. Maybe a little gloomy.
Oh, I don't mind so gloomy a place. Neighbours?
Only one close by. An asylum. A private lunatic asylum, not visible from the grounds.
Good. I don't mind the darkness. Too old to look for the bright, voluptuous sunshine, the sparkling waters of youth. My heart is not attuned to mirth, Mr. Harker. I love the shade and the shadow, and to be alone with my thoughts.
That sounds so close.
Yes. Yes, he is close. Hunting. You are tired, Mr. Harker. Tomorrow evening will be soon enough to work.
He sleeps quietly enough, Sister Agnes. As if at peace for a while.
I pray he is, Sister. I pray he is.
Sister,
what can I do? I cry. Hold it. I can't. It's too strong. Mr. Harker. God of Father. Help me.
Please
calm. He's all right. I saw women. Three women. And such faces. Such bodies. Such soft, voluptuous looks. Help me. I want to be blind.
Take the sleeping
draught. Blind me so I can't see anymore.
Please,
I beg you.
Easy now. For your own good, you must sleep.
No, please.
Good morning.
Oh, damn. I didn't see you in my shaving mirror, Count. I didn't hear... Are you unwell, sir? Count, please. Please, what are you... I need a plaster. I've cut my face. I'm bleeding. Count, let me... Joseph! No! No! No!
He had me by the throat, sister. I swear I never saw such demonic fury in any... Eyes blazing. I see it every night when I sleep. He comes to me, takes me, holds my neck and dips his head to my throat.
Pray with me for deliverance from this evil. Pray.
You think I haven't prayed? He touched the crucifix that woman gave me. It was round my neck yet, and he backed away, almost snarling.
What are you doing? The man with the haka!
He threw it.
Man's vanity. A foul bauble.
He wrenched the window open and threw it out and out into the courtyard far away below. I think I am going mad. He locked all the doors. I was trapped. Doors. Doors. Doors everywhere. All locked and bolted. I was a prisoner. Am I mad, Sister Agnes?
I don't know.
Help me. I beg you. Help me.
I do hope the journey was not too tiring, Mina, my dear.
Oh, I'm so excited, dear Lucy. I almost forgot. Almost.
Oh, I'm sure Jonathan will be home soon, Mina. Sure of it?
Yes. Yes, of course. I never knew that Whitby was so pretty. Oh, the river there, running down to the harbour through that steep valley. Oh, and the houses ranged up the hillside over the harbour, so... Oh, it is lovely, Lucy.
And see the abbey. Just a ruin, of course. Sacked by the Danes, they say. You remember Marmion, where the girl is walled up?
Oh, yes, yes.
There, in Whitby Abbey. And over on the other side, my favourite place for walks. Over the town and looking down over the harbour and along the headland called Kettle Ness.
Such strange names.
I own they are. But there, in the quiet graveyard, is a place of such beauty, such peace. People walk and sit there every day. We shall go tomorrow when you are quite recovered from your journey. You were very brave to come alone.
Tell me your news. Your two suitors. Have they come to the point yet?
Three! Dr. Seward has thrown his hat into the ring, I believe.
It could turn a girl's head to have so much choice.
Oh, I wish it were only one. For you had no one to hurt when Jonathan asked for your hand.
Have you decided?
Well, they've not yet asked me. Now, we're nearly in the crescent. I should tell you that Mother is not too well. But excited to be seeing you again. She's very fond.
I think I am certainly mad. The man stepped into the light of the flare the woman carried, and I saw the leather bag he carried heaving, and from the mouth of the bag, suddenly in the light, a tiny hand. For one moment, and then the man turned, and I saw in the light Count Dracula.
Come,
Come, my friends. Come to me. I have a gift for you.
Jesus, Mary, dear Lord, protect and preserve this your servant from evil thoughts. Give him peace and sleep without these fearful visions. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Miss Westenra? Miss Murray said I might come in.
Dr. Seward, of course. Please, won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Oh, not on your hat, sir.
What? Oh, yes. No, yes. I must come to the point, Miss Westenra. Lucy. May I call you Lucy?
Sir.
I'm a plain man. I have my own practice, as you know. My specialization is in disorders of the mind, and, to be frank, I feel as disordered as any man just now.
Please don't distress yourself, sir.
I want you to know that I care deeply for you, and that life with you would be a joy to me. I want to tell you of my love, and... Oh, please. Please don't cry, my dear girl. I would only make you happy.
Oh, sir, I am sorry.
Could I not hope that sometime, maybe, you could love me?
I am sorry, John. Truly.
Oh. May I ask? Is there anyone?
Yes. There is.
Oh, I see. I want you to know that I hope for your happiness. And if you ever need a friend, you must count me as one of your best.
Lucy, that poor man. Poor man.
Oh, Mina. So kind and brave when I told him I could not marry him. What a dear man he is.
Lucy, you have to bear up. A Mr. Morris left his card. He will call in a short time, he said.
Oh, no, no!
Wipe your eyes, my dear.
Oh, I would not go through this for all the pearls in the world.
Yet I think maybe there is a bit of you, dear Lucy, that is flattered by it.
Mina, you're unkind.
Perhaps.
Well, I'll go right on in and see the lady. I don't have the hang of the manners, the formality of this place. It's more hedged around than a South American ritual dance. I'll go in and take my chance.
Oh, dear, stay. Mr. Quincy Morris has such a way with him.
I shall be in the conservatory, my dear. You can only tell the truth.
Yes? Mr. Morris.
Miss Lucy. I'll come to the point straight off the bat. I know I ain't good enough to regulate the fixings of your little shoes, but I guess if you wait till you find a man that is, you'll go to join them seven young women with the lamps when you quit. Won't you just hitch up alongside of me and let us go down the long road driving in double harness?
Oh, Mr. Morris, you do make me smile. Your American ways are quite foreign to us here.
I'm a beast and a monster, I own. I speak light of things I take serious, Miss Lucy.
I'm not yet broken to harness, Mr. Morris. Nor ready for the hitching, whatever that might be.
What? You're angry because I spoke in a light manner. I made a mistake, maybe. This is a grave moment for a man. I am no lightweight. I own I never loved a girl like I love you. I never saw a girl with such eyes. Such a sweet face. Such a girl I would die for, willingly. Die for.
No talk of dying, Mr. Morris, please.
Lucy, I reckon you to be clean grit through and through. Tell me, like one fine fellow to the next, is there anyone else you care for? If there is, I'll never trouble you one hair's breadth again. but will be, if you let me, your faithful friend.
There is someone else. Though he has not yet told me he loves me. What can I say to you to soften...
Oh, no. No, girl. Brave girl. Don't cry now, my dear. If it's for me, I'm a hard nut to crack. I take it standing up. If that other fella don't know his happiness, he'd better look for it soon, or he'll have to deal with me. You and I will be friends, and that's rarer than a lover. Just give me one kiss to keep off the darkness now and then. So, that makes us friends, as nothing else can. Thank you for your sweet honesty. Goodbye now.
Lucy.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it, Mina. I could have loved them both.
I seem to be able to do nothing for him, Mother Superior.
My concern is also for you, Sister Agnes. He may be a violent man.
No. No, he is a gentleman. He has been hurt in his mind, but nothing he says can be true, Mother. It is just his deranged mind.
We must pray.
You cannot believe. The child in the bag, the cut face, the mirror that did not reflect the man, you cannot believe.
I shall pray for him. As will you.
Mother of God, it cannot be true.
What is that? Go and look. Go and look, Jonathan. Go to the window and see what makes that. What is it that flaps so out there in the dark? Go to the window. Oh, God!
Oh! Below my window, another and from it, under the pale moonlight, a paler face peered, and then slowly inched out of the window. And began crawling slowly down the dark ivy over the wall, spreading a dark, fluttering cape wide over the wall. The Count crawled over the wall of the castle.
I must get out!
The worst thing that... The thing that... appalled me. He was crawling head down like a huge bat.
Save myself. Search for a way.
Tried doors and passages, dark rooms, and slowly worked my way through the castle and met no one. It was as if the Count lived entirely alone in the castle. We had done a little work. I had made out some bills of lading for some things he wished taken from the castle to his new estate in England. I dreamed constantly of my dear, dear Mina. I had no idea if my letters were being sent or not. Now, with that fearful man out of the way, I could hope to find my way to freedom.
He warns about going to other parts of the castle. How am I to escape unless I try?
Oh, dear. Dear Mina, your sweet face is with me.
The room was in the corner of the tower. It had a dust-covered desk, a sofa before the window. I sat for what I thought would be a moment. Fatally, I slept. Oh, God, I slept. I pray it was a dream. Let it please have been a dream.
Shall follow. Oh, so young, so strong. Let's begin. There are kisses from all of us. Oh, yes, yes. See, under his arm. His white neck, and see there, under the white flesh. See, take him.
Of you. I forbade you even to set eyes on him. Back, that's back. He belongs to me.
You never love. You never love.
I too can love. You know I can. I promise you, when I am done with him, you shall kiss him as you will. Now go. Go!
We have nothing tonight.
He'd thrown another bag on the floor by the door. I saw the bag move, as if there were some living thing. One of them opened the bag, and I heard...
Sweet Jesus, have mercy on the soul of a poor child. Sweet Jesus, have mercy.
In Dracula by Bram Stoker, adapted for radio by Nick McCarty, the cast was as follows. Jonathan Harker was played by Bernard Holly, Mina by Phyllis Logan, Seaward, Peter Blythe, Quincy, Paul Burchard, Lucy, Sharon Maharaj, Pensniff, John Shedden, Hawkins, Peter Lincoln, Mother Superior, Stella Forge, Coachman, Frank Gallagher, and the three vampire women were played by Wendy Seeger, Monica Gibb, and Amanda Whitehead, with a guest star appearance by Frederick Jaeger as Count Dracula. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clark in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer in our Edinburgh studios was Hamish Wilson. Jonathan Harker is somewhere in Middle Europe. While on holiday in Whitby with her friend Lucy Westenra, Mina waits to hear from him. Following a great storm and a shipwreck, Lucy starts sleepwalking. Dracula.
In Arthur came, and I thank God he asked me.
As you should, having turned away two worthy men already, my dear.
Lady Godalming, then, in time.
Well, sadly, in not too long a time. His father's not well, which is why he can only stay so briefly. Oh, Mina, you know the joy of having a good man, a decent man, an honest man to love and cherish and...
Oh, I could wish I saw more of him, or heard a word. It is as if he's fallen off the edge of the world, swallowed up and all for dry as dust business.
Dear friend, come along. We can go up a little over the grass, and then there's a seat I often take looking down over the boats and the harbour. Come.
Very well.
My old friend is there before us. See on the bench near the end.
The gentleman with the white hair?
He's nearly 100, and he was a sailor. Sir, good morning.
Oh, maybe it is, miss. Oh, you've a friend alongside you.
Miss Murray, Mr. Swales and I talk a lot about the old days.
Oh, and about the fishing in the Greenland fleet. Oh, I remember them days well enough. Ice on the decks and cracking your skin and salt water burning and wind and... Oh, you take a fish for your tea and think on, think on. I were on the banks then when Waterloo were fought.
Oh.
Aye.
Oh, tell my friend about the old bell, sir. Please.
The old bell yonder out on the moor. See the water change its colour out there? Offshore of the harbour mouth.
Oh, yes. Mm.
There's a reef there, like teeth. The boy rings out a bell in bad weather. Oh, it is a dreadful sound for a sailor coming in from the storms to hear it. There is a story. When a ship is lost, bells are heard out to sea. That's truth. It is. Not like these gravestones here. That lie about proclaiming this and that man or woman is lying under them.
Oh, what do you mean, sir? The stones must mark a burial, surely.
Well, happen they might if it's a woman.
Oh, Mr. Swale, that can't be so.
Right, it's true. Graves and coffins empty as my bucky box on a Friday night. This one here, Edward Spencer, a mariner, murdered by pirates off the coast of China. See? And this one, Braithwaite Lowry. I knew his father. Lost in the Lively off Greenland in 20. And this. John Rawlins. Drowned in the Gulf of Finland. So, who brung them home, I ask you? Eh?
But why the stones, Mr. Swales?
Comfort for relatives. Lies. See this in here? George Cannon. Said to have died, falling off the rocks at Kettleness. Not true. Blew his brains out with a shotgun to stop his mother getting any insurance she put on his life. He hated her. Glorious resurrection indeed. Never. Got to hell he did. And he hoped his mother might follow him.
Suicide? You frighten me, Mr. Swales.
Oh, no cause, miss. Now, I must go for me tea. Ugh. My services to you, ladies.
Good day, Mr. Swales. What an imp of an old man. Like a gnome, almost. Dancing away down the hill among the stones that seem to all be liars. Oh, I shall come up here to write my diary, dear Lucy. And to write to Jonathan. He would like it here. We shall come together, my dear. Often.
Take care you don't wake him, child.
Does he need to be tied so?
He is afraid he will hurt himself. He told me he wanted to be restrained a little. Don't wake him, child.
He frightens me.
He talks often of his fiancée. He named her today. I shall write to her. Tell her he is safe.
I will watch him.
It's all right. He is only dreaming.
No, no! Escape! Must escape! The window. If he can climb down, I can!
Oh, God! So high!
A key! He has a key in his room. I know his room. He crawled from it only this evening. The only way is down the wall and pray the ivy will hold me. I must try!
Don't look down. Must not look. And hold. Hold onto the ivy. Down. Go down. Further. Left. A little. Go. Left. A little more.
The window.
Open.
No one. Find the key. Nothing. No key. Door. His door. His door. Stairs. Another door. A vast box.
July. Unseasonal fog surrounds ship, despite barometric readings.
Yes?
Begging your pardon, sir. The fog seems to be lifting a touch. The twin decks watch have searched all over for Mr. Hans. He's not to be found on board.
You're sure, Mr. Mate?
Aye, Captain. Looked everywhere, including the hold. There's someone going the hold with them boxes. Makes them very uneasy, they do, for some reason.
Their business is to work the ship, not anything else. So, overboard?
It seems so. There was a little blood in the scuppers aft of the wheel, sir.
Hit his head, went over.
In a flat car. In a fog, Captain.
We've lost two men already, Mr. Mate. The crew are becoming concerned. Rumour. Whisperings. He fell overboard, Mr. Mate.
Aye, sir. Two of them say they saw a dog, or something akin to a dog.
Imagination. Drink, maybe. Cut the ration and see what they see then. Dogs.
Crouched, sir. Over a figure in the scuppers where the blood...
I'll thank you to keep your imaginings to yourself, Mr. Mate. We'll make way and risk the fog. Carry on, Mr. Mate.
Aye, sir.
And stamp on any more rumours. Hard.
Aye, aye, sir.
Two men gone. Strange sightings. I don't like it one jot. Trouble is coming.
Gentlemen, I think we should raise our glasses to the ladies, in particular to one lady.
I second that. To a very honest and brave little lady. And to a lucky man. Congratulations, Arthur.
What can I say?
To have such good friends about one is reward indeed. To have friends who have the bigness of heart and spirit that you do. I'm overwhelmed.
To Arthur and Lucy, may you both be very happy.
Arthur, you make her unhappy and I'll come looking.
I think the port is with you, John.
I beg your pardon.
Say, Jack, how was that man you had in... What's his name? Ratcliffe, was it?
Renfield.
That's the one. Did you hear about him, Art? He is a case.
I don't know that I'd have the courage to work with such lunatics as you do, John.
Oh, come now. Most of the time they are lambs. Renfield, on the other hand, is unpredictable, I admit. Interesting. Now, I thought at one time he loved all God's creatures. He seemed to spend a lot of time catching flies.
Flies? For pets?
When your mind is unhinged, as his is. Then he started to catch spiders. Big spiders in boxes. He feeds them.
The flies?
Exactly. I was talking with him only 2 days ago, and a huge blowfly came in, filthy. He snapped it from the air very quick, and before I could do anything to stop him, he ate it.
Oh, come now, John. I'm tickle-stomached enough.
Is there any reason?
His latest pet is a sparrow. Part tamed. Easy to see how. The spiders have almost all gone. He is now asking for a kitten to play with, to feed. And then... Well, who knows where it might end?
Oh, I'd like to see him. What happened?
Oh, I refused the kitten. And he began again putting sugar on the sill of his window and catching flies. I looked for the bird. The attendant showed me, in Renfield's bed, a few feathers and a bloodstain on the pillow.
No. He'd eaten the bird?
Raw. Feathers, feet and beak. Everything. He is, to tell the truth, an undeveloped homicidal maniac. I have him heavily sedated just now. If you wanted to observe him, Quincy, you'd be welcome to join me.
A bargain. I would look forward to it as much as the adventures I've had in the South American jungles or in the pampas of the Argentine. You, Arthur?
I'm afraid my father is very ill. I have only stayed this long to wish you both happiness also, and I have to return to my home tomorrow. I shall leave dear Lucy to the tender care of her friend Miss Murray.
Then, a nightcap, gentlemen, and away early tomorrow.
Close the window, Lucy, dear.
Leave it open. I like it open, Mina.
Oh, the rain will beat in, Lucy. We must close it. We shan't sleep if we don't close it.
I wish I could sleep. I dream and wake up and dream again. I never know if I've truly slept or not.
You're overexcited, Lucy. Your fiancé gone away so soon. A shame.
He has to see his father. Arthur's sure the old man is dying.
I'm sorry for that, but you must try to rest, dear.
I'll go for a walk. I know it's stupid. I just feel so very restless. Uneasy.
Lucy, get to bed and tell me how you came to meet Arthur. Go on.
All right, I will. Oh, how clever you are, dear friend. I was to go to a dance in St. James. Mother.
Bristol, mate! Who's at the wheel?
Hawkins, Captain. The strongest helmsman we got.
Then why the devil is he steering so ragged a course? The weather is no excuse.
Captain! Captain!
Yes? Yes, Johnson?
Hawkins, Captain, sir. He's gone, sir. Gone! No sign of him.
Dear God, what is this? 5 men left of the mate. What is happening on this ship, Mr. Mate?
I own, I'm afraid, sir. It is almost as if we're cursed, sir.
Get you forward and lash down those spars, Johnson.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Mate, I'll take the wheel.
Aye, sir.
Johnson! Johnson!
No,
sail, sir! No curses! Captain, sir, I seen him! I seen him, sir, and over him! Dear God! Over him! Crouched like a huge beast. Crouched with Johnson's neck in his mouth. I swear. And him screaming. And the next wave took him over. Gone. The shape. Run, sir. Along the deck on all fours, sir. He looked back at me and his eyes. Come to Bob. I never seen such eyes. I pray. Red. In the dark. Red eyes. Like blood.
Look at the waves, Mina. And the spray. Lovely. I'm afraid I'm not good company this morning, Lucy. Oh. I keep thinking... Oh, it's foolish, I know.
I'm sure he'll write soon, Mina, sure of it.
Oh, it's nearly 2 months now, Lucy. He can't have forgotten me, can he?
Oh, Mina, you know very well he will not forget you. And you know as well as I do that the post from France and Germany and, well, all those places, it's not half as reliable as ours. So, patience.
You're right. Yes, I must look on the bright side. It is not easy. Oh, my! How this wind does blow! You were very restless in the night. Was it the storm?
Oh, I dreamt a little. Nothing more.
I found you by the window at one time. You would only come back to bed reluctantly. You kept muttering something. What was it?
Oh, he's coming. He's coming.
Dear, have you mentioned it to Mother? I saw no reason to worry her. She seems so frail, Lucy. So weak.
Oh, I'm afraid for her. She's not sound of health.
We shall be blown away, Lucy, up here.
Oh, I want to go to the top. Please, to our seat at the end.
I declare, there's Mr. Swales already ahead of us. See? Good morning, Mr. Swales.
Good morning, miss. It is a rough old day, miss. Not a day for boats to be out, and yet there is one over there. You see, eh?
I can't see anything amongst those waves and the spray.
And he's there. He's there. See?
She, miss. She is there and no error. And heading for the teeth by the look of her. Bobbing about without a hand to man her from the set of her. She near goes about and then back again, and then it is as if no hand were on her wheel.
Oh.
She'll be fortunate to survive the day like that. We shall hear more of her, no doubt of it.
I'm sorry for you, Mina. Truly, you're like a daughter to me and a sister to my dear Lucy. And Jonathan will write. Be assured he will.
If only I heard from Mr. Hawkins at the office, it would be something. Mina, you remember Mr. Swales talking of that ship and saying it was in danger?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure enough. It's in the evening edition. Yes?
Read it to us, Lucy. What ship was this?
Schooner with all sails set, heading back towards Whitby Harbour with the full roaring storm behind her. Watchers shuddered as the ship came on with no attempt to tack by the rocks across the entrance to the harbour. One old salt said, she must fetch up somewhere if it is only in hell.
That sounds like Mr. Swales.
Well, he was right. The ship came on out of the sea and through white-topped waves and the crash of thunder and drove towards the rocks, veered sharply and came to rest in the harbour.
Oh, God.
Well, there's more. At the wheel, a corpse, lashed there.
Oh.
No other soul on the ship, it seems. Steered there by a dead man's hand.
Oh.
It rushed ashore with a great concussion and spilled spars and ropes and stays. Oh. And even as it came ashore, a vast dog leapt ashore and disappeared up towards the churchyard.
The poor beast. Is there anything else?
Oh, the corpse at the wheel had in his hands a crucifix.
Is the Russian ship still berthed, dear?
Over there, son. Over end.
Yeah, and that's what's left of it, though, said the old.
Thanks. Excuse me. Let me through there, Echo Reporter. Thank you. Excuse me. I have an appointment.
I don't have any intention of making statements for the newspapers, Mr. Pierce. I am merely the recipient of the cargo.
You have some concern for the crew, surely?
I am a Christian, and I hope you are too. I shall pray for them, as any decent man would. Now, sir, if you'll excuse me, I have papers to sign and bills of lading to see to, and delivery documents to peruse, and customs dues to pay.
On what, sir? A cargo of what?
Boxes, Mr. Pierce. Boxes. Filled with mould, it appears, from the manifest. For research purposes, they're all intact.
Indeed. Do you know anything about the dog that went ashore?
Dog? No, I don't.
A bull mastiff. A fighting dog at that. Up over Tate Hill. Was found with his throat torn out and his belly ripped open this morning. You any ideas about that, Mr. Billington, sir?
I have not. Now, if you will excuse me.
Funeral bell for the captain of that ship from Russia.
So sad. So very sad.
Why, Claire, Mr. Swales is not in our place this morning. See, a friend of his has his place. Good morning, sir.
Ladies.
We expected to find Mr. Swales. Is he sick? He's always here at this time.
He'll not be now. Nor never.
No?
He was here early yesterday. About 6 hour walk by. Old habits. Seafaring habits make us early risers. He was here. Sitting as I am. His head thrown back. And his face. His eyes. Staring. Sheer terror. And his heart. Quite stopped.
Dead?
Yes. Oh. A fright, I believe.
Oh, poor old man. What did he see to frighten him so?
My dog come up often to walk amongst the old gravestones and the memorials and such, and now it is all fury and eyes starting and hairs bristling in fear. He'll not come by here now. He will not stir from the bottom of the path down there. Will not move.
How do you think Lucy seems, Mina?
She's resting now, Mrs. Westenra. I think perhaps she is too tired now to go sleepwalking again. I pray she is.
Yes. I believe she has more colour to her face. More animation since you came to stay. And for that I must thank you, my dear. Look after her, Mina. I'm not well, as you know. I worry for her. Sir Arthur seems a good enough sort of man.
He is of the best, Mrs. Westenra. Be calm about that.
Say nothing to Lucy of my concern, please. Now, take this key. If she seems to want to sleepwalk again, lock the door.
As is that, I go no further, sir. I've no liking for madmen in ones, and he got a dozen or more in there. As madness, if ever anything was.
Well, oh, my bag's in. And here's for your trouble.
Oh, thank you, sir. Wish you good day, sir.
Hold. The house next door?
Been empty ever since the lunatics come by here. That's a big place, by all account. There's rumour it's to be opened up again. Oh, who'd live beside a lunatic asylum, I don't know. Get up now!
You know more than I do, Quincy, much more. Tell me, did you see Miss Westenra before you came away?
No, I did not. I thought it best not to tread there for a time. Mm. Sir Arthur has the right now, and you and I, old son, are cast off like gloves by as good a woman as ever drew breath.
Agreed to that. So, I bury myself in work, and you?
I don't really know as yet. Is your man Renfield still eating spiders?
Master is coming. In the morning you shall see for yourself.
Master is coming. The 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 master is coming.
Wait. Wait. Shh. Wait. I'll open the window. Open. Open. No. Lucy. Don't. Don't. It's a bat, Lucy. Don't.
I want to open the window.
Let him. Let him now.
You shall not.
And I shall go out. I shall go out to him. I shall go.
It's all right, Lucy. Go away now. Go away.
It's all right. It's all right. Easy now. Easy. Go to bed, Dad. It's all right. Now. It's gone. There, darling. Now sleep. Sleep. Hold my hand, Lucy. There, it's all right now. It's all right now. Sleep. I can hear you. I'm coming. I'm coming.
In Dracula by Bram Stoker, adapted for radio by Nick McCarty, the cast was as follows. Nina was played by Phyllis Logan, Lucy by Sharon Maharaj, Jonathan Harker, Bernard Holly, Dr. Seward, Peter Blythe, Quincy Morris, Paul Burchard, Arthur Homewood, Crawford Logan, Renfield, David McHale, Mr. Swales, John Buick, Sister Agnes, Wendy Seeger, Novice, Amanda Whitehead, Captain, Nicholas Gilbrook, Mate, Ian Sexon, Mrs. Westenra, Stella Forge, Pierce, Mark Coleman, Billington, Raymond Ross. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clark in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer in our Edinburgh studios was Hamish Wilson. At last, after weeks of waiting, Mina receives news of Jonathan, though he's ill in a hospital in Budapest. Mina travels at once to join him. Dracula.
Find the key and then get out. Dear Mina, I'm coming. Lucy?
I... You see? Dear Lucy, I'll bring you back. I know where to go. I know. I am coming.
Come on, Quincy. Is Renfield quiet now, Adams?
He was asking and asking for you, sir. I wouldn't have bothered you, but he seemed so eager, sir. Almost in his right mind, you could say.
Now, Quincy, I must ask you one thing. No surprise, no quick movements. Be calm and deliberate. He was once a very intelligent man, I believe.
Mr. Seward, it's late for you. I do apologize. And your friend?
Just a friend.
Come to stare, have we, sir? At the disturbed of mind? I'm no more disturbed than you are, sir.
Come now, Renfield, that's hardly polite.
Manners, sir, are the prerequisite of the middle class, and the bane of the natural rulers of the world. You can leave us, sir. I never thought Americans much intellectually. Have you read Whitman?
Yes, I have.
Well, that may be something in your favour. Outside, here we find it rather pretentious.
Indeed.
Quiet. I don't want to talk to you. You don't count now. Nor you, Seward. Nor you.
It's like nothing so much as a hunting dog scenting out game.
Mr. Renfield. Sir.
Still here? Leave. The master is at hand. He is at hand.
The master?
The bride maidens rejoice the eyes that wait the coming of the bride. But when the bride draweth nigh, then the maidens shine not to the eyes that are filled. Leave me! Leave me! Leave me!
Quincy, to the door. Easy now. Easy. I know the signs. Mr. Renfield, try to sleep.
My God. Spies. My God!
Out! Get out, Quincy! Now!
Lucy. I am almost afraid to write this in my journal.
Lucy,
but I must. She was there. I had run along the crescent without seeing her, and then along the north terrace. I ran to the edge of the west cliff and looked across the harbour in the hope... No, fear, perhaps, of seeing Lucy in our favourite seat. The storm seemed to be dying away, and the clouds racing across the moon were clearing. The ruins of the abbey came into view, and she was there. In the silvery light of the moon, I saw a half-reclining figure, snowy white. It seemed to me that I saw, before the clouds obscured the moon again, I saw something dark behind the seat. Something that bent over her. Man or beast, I could not tell.
Lucy! Lucy!
There was something long and black bending over her. I called out.
Lucy! Lucy!
The something raised its head and I could see a white face and red, gleaming eyes. I ran across the churchyard towards her. When I was near enough to see her again, she was alone, her head lying back over the seat.
Lucy? Lucy? Are you awake? Oh, my dear Lucy. My dear. Oh. So cold. Oh, so cold. Oh, here. Let me wrap you in my shawl.
Pin it round you, my darling.
Mrs. Westenra, I brought her back still fast asleep with my shawl pinned round her to keep her warm. She was breathing great, tearing breaths.
Did you wake her?
Slowly, very slowly. And she came home without knowing much of what had happened, I'm sure. She is asleep now, and none the worse for it, I promise you.
You are a good friend, my dear. A good friend. When we're home in London, we might see a specialist and ask for help in the matter of sleepwalking. I'm sure it's just the excitement of the engagement. Hmm?
I think so too, Mrs. Westenra. Nothing to worry over. I shall make sure we spend a quiet day about the house.
Did anything happen to make him suddenly turn as he has?
Nothing, sir. We were out in the garden. You know, he likes tending a small plot over by the far wall. He was there, sir, and looking through the gates. He was pointing and shaking, shaking and muttering to himself.
Muttering what?
Some rubbish I didn't really listen to. I was too eager to get the fork from him.
You heard nothing of what he was saying?
There was a carrier's wagon, sir, coming to the hall next door. We are to have neighbours, it seems. Renfield was pointing at the wagon and slobbering, sir. The master. The master, he seemed to say. And then he turned on me. And I own I was glad to see Jonas and Perks come over. They held him while we got the restraining jacket on him.
Mm. You did well. Watch him, if you please, and report any changes.
Yes, Doctor.
He's well. Mr. Harker is well.
It is from his employer. From Exeter.
Sit, my dear child. Lucy, water.
No, I'm all right. I have no need. Jonathan is found again.
Was he lost?
In a hospital in Budapest. Oh. Nuns have been looking after him, it seems. His mind has been affected, but he is recovering. Oh, dear Jonathan, I must go to him.
Oh, you must go indeed, yes.
Mr. Hawkins, the dear man, says they have already arranged my tickets and a passage on Monday from Hull, thence to Hungary by train and coach.
I'm sure I don't know that a young lady should travel alone.
I must go, Mrs. Westenra. Jonathan needs me. The nuns believe it would help him.
Oh, of course you must go. An adventure. How romantic.
Would you mind? I'd like to think, to be on my own for a few moments. I won't be long.
I'll come with you.
Lucy, my dear, Mina needs a few moments on her own. Take the air, my dear, and calm yourself. Much the best. Pack tomorrow and take passage after that. But first, a little calm reflection.
Dear Mrs. Westenra, Lucy... I was seized by a thousand emotions, but above all, by joy that dear Jonathan was safe and in kind hands. I didn't care to think about what had caused his illness. I walked back to our little house in the Crescent and looked up at the window of our room. Lucy was sitting in the window, waiting for me. Beside her, on the sill, in the shadows, I thought I saw something. I waved my hand, and as I did so, a cloud shifted from the moon, and I could see her more clearly. Her eyes were shut, her head leaning back. I ran upstairs to stop her getting a chill from the open window. Lucy! Lucy!
Tired. Very tired.
My dear, come to your bed. That's it. In you go. Right. Now, let me pull the blanket around you closer to you. Keep you warm. You're like ice. Why were you by the window? What was that thing on the sill beside you?
I'm asleep now.
Lucy? Lucy, why were you at the window?
Nothing. I'm so tired.
Let me see your throat. Is it sore? You press your hand to it. Those pinpricks. Are they from the shawl brooch the other night when I pinned my shawl to warm you?
Sleep.
You're so pale. And weak.
So painfully she tries to breathe.
Why by the window? Why?
She won't answer me. Oh, Lucy. What is wrong with her throat?
Lying in that box, looking up, looking young, as if he'd been renewed. The white hair now dark iron grey, the cheeks fuller, the white skin ruby red underneath, and the mouth redder than ever. On the lips, oh God, help me. On the lips, gouts of fresh blood trickling still from the corners of the mouth and running over his chin and neck. Bloated. As if the whole filthy creature was gorged with blood. Exhausted with his repletion. A filthy leech. There is a mocking smile on his face. There is. See it? See it? Oh, all I remember now is that bloated face, blood-stained, fixed in a grin of malice that would have held its own in the nethermost hell. Gypsies came for him, and when they came into the castle in the dark shadows, I slipped away. I remember nothing more, only that face, the blood slipping thick from the corner of the mouth, thick, red blood.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
On! Get on! On! Get on!
You want to rest before you see your fiancé?
No. Please.
You must be prepared. He is pale, very tired, and sometimes a little agitated in his mind.
The peace here must help him.
Thank God.
I thank God for your care.
Now, he has been told you are coming. Go in to him, Miss Murray. I shall be in the chapel, at prayer.
Jonathan?
I see that Renfield is at liberty again.
He is calm now. There's no point in chaining him up, Quincy. He loves this garden.
Yet he's a killer, for sure.
Would you chain a dog for the rest of his life?
A mad dog I'd shoot.
We can do neither to Renfield. He's an intelligent man when his mind is clear.
Sure. Say, your neighbors seem to be moving in. I saw a carter's wagon there this morning.
Oh, indeed. Well, perhaps we might stroll over there and see what's what. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Can I help you?
I'm from the house over the wall. Just a neighbourly visit.
Careful, Jack. Don't drop it. The owner isn't here, sir. Just us, moving in a few boxes.
Damn heavy boxes from the looks of them.
And to be put in a very precise place, sir. Down in the old end.
The chapel?
Chapel?
That's what we were told, sir, yes. A rush job it was. Letter from a solicitor in Whitby to Messrs. Carter, Patterson and Co., London. Meet the goods at King's Cross, out here at the trot, you might say. Into the house, using closed keys, leave said keys in main room on departure.
A real chapel in a private house. My.
Not much left, sir. Inside is a mess of screens and upturned stones, and only the door to the crypt in working order, oiled and locked.
Frank, take the end round a bit. Easy, man, easy.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I shall be locking the gates before we leave, sir, so...
Oh, we're not staying, friend.
You don't know the name of the new owner, do you?
No, sir. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Jack! Oh, Lord, if I was...
Lucy, my dear, shall we take some air?
If you don't mind, Arthur, I would rather sit for a moment. I'm still not entirely myself.
My dear, I really do wish you'd see a doctor.
There's no need. It's just the move. Coming down from Whitby to town and Mama being unwell. And we've hardly stopped since you came to town.
I want to show off my fiancé. That's the truth. Oh, I've been selfish.
No, dearest, not at all.
I could ask John Seward to look at you.
If it will make you feel easier in your mind.
It will. I know we both trust John as a good friend. His opinion is worth a great deal.
Very well, Arthur. Oh, isn't that Quincy waving his programme?
Oh, what luck. Shall he come on to supper with us, my dear?
Oh, I'd rather we had supper alone, please.
So would I. Quincy, my dear chap.
Hello, folks. Good to see you. Nice concert.
Yes.
Lovely violinist. My, Miss Lucy, you are looking pale and interesting, if I may say so.
Why, thank you.
She's been overdoing it.
We have been overdoing
it. I'm calling John in for an opinion.
Gentlemen, please stop talking about me.
Why, ma'am, you must be the first living woman ever asked two men to do that. I've just been down in the country with him. He has an interesting place there, some amazing people. All mad and some dangerous. Fascinating.
I think I shouldn't like that, sir.
It can make you a little uneasy in your bed. Now, I have to miss the second half, sadly. Mm. I must leave if I'm to catch the train back to his place. Excuse me.
I pity your friend Mina was already engaged. I thought the two of them would make a fine couple.
Well, Mina sent a telegram. She's with Jonathan Harker now and happy.
Oh.
I'm so pleased. Oh, no. Hush.
I prayed every night to God and St. Joseph and St. Mary for the poor man. He raved and had bad dreams.
He refuses to tell me any detail. Just that he had nightmares and is still afraid to sleep.
With you here, he will lose that fear and begin to heal himself.
If only I knew what he did rave of. It worries me, sister.
I can tell you it was not about anything to give you as his future wife cause for concern. He never forgot you, even in the darkest of times. His fear was of such dark, dreadful things, but it will go. You will help him.
Thank you, sister. I wish I knew how to.
Mina. Wilhelmina. Is it a dream?
Jonathan. Dear Jonathan.
My book fell on the floor.
Oh, you have been writing your journal.
I told you I would never show it to you.
Jonathan, it doesn't matter to me.
I believe there should be no secret, no concealment between husband and wife. I have had a great shock, and I do not know if it be real or the dreams of a madman. I have been unhinged, I think. The secret lies in this journal. Will you dare share it with me? Take it and keep it. Read it if you will, but never let me know. Please. Then, we can be married and no secrets between us.
Oh, Jonathan. Jonathan. I have asked Sister Agnes to beg Mother Superior to allow our marriage very soon. Now, I will stay here, and you will sleep, my dear. Sleep.
Hold my hand, please. I am still afraid of sleep.
Damn good of you to come up, John.
Sick, you said?
Not exactly ill or no special disease. She's just very tired and getting lower every day. I dare not talk to her mother about it, as she too is very frail.
Ah, yes. Her heart condition. She may not have long with us, I believe.
Her doctor told her as much. Lucy does not know. John, I'm aware how painful it will be for you to take on the role of doctor and not of suitor. If you would rather...
I'm a friend, Arthur. To both of you, I hope. Quincy was concerned. He told me.
So, come to lunch, and Lucy will make an opportunity for you to examine her. Her mother must not know of our concern, of course. Taxi! Cab, there!
So pleased you could come for luncheon, John. Arthur is naughty not to be here himself.
I think, my dear, he'd had a telegram.
Oh, his father must be worse.
Now, you're not to worry on that account, Lucy. He was indeed called away. We were in his chambers when the telegram came. We thought it best for me to come on alone and for him to take the train post-haste.
Of course. Poor Arthur.
Well, my dears, if you'll excuse me, I'd take a nap at this time, John.
Yes, yes, of course.
John will think us dull dogs, Mama.
I think you very wise, Mrs. Westenra.
Thank you. And I'm so glad you feel able to call after...
Mama!
You shall be certain of one thing, Mrs. Westenra. I shall always call when I'm in town.
Good. Don't tire yourself, child. Hmm?
No, Mama.
So, we must see to you.
Arthur worries too much.
You have lost weight. A considerable amount of weight. He is naturally and rightly concerned.
Rightly?
Are you sleeping?
Yes, well enough.
Concealment will not help, Lucy.
I'm not sleeping well, no. I hate talking about myself.
Remember, whatever you tell me is between doctor and patient.
You may tell Arthur everything I say. I do not care for myself, but all for him.
Go on.
Well, I have difficulty breathing sometimes. I sleep very deeply and wake tired still. Dreams. I have dreams that frighten me and I remember nothing.
I see.
I began to sleepwalk when we were in Whitby.
Really?
I even walked out of the house and onto the East Cliff. It was Miss Murray who found me and brought me safe home.
Do you still walk in your sleep?
No, I just feel so heavy, so...
Yes, yes. I think... I was taught for a time by a very great man. He became my friend. I would like to write to him and to ask him to come and see you. He teaches from time to time in Amsterdam and is an expert on matters of the mind.
I'm not mad.
No, of course you're not mad. I just think, maybe... There is something weighing down on you, and it needs to be found. Now, he can help, I'm sure of that.
It seems to be a considerable amount of trouble over a little lack of sleep.
Now, you listen to me. He is a most advanced scientist, a philosopher, a metaphysician. He also has a brain like ice. It seems abrupt, perhaps, but is full of virtue, a true heart.
I think I'm hearing him recommended, Dr. Seward.
Yes, you are.
His name?
Abraham Van Helsing.
Ah, this propensity for hurry, for rush, for behaving as if ants in a heap. City's the hive of madness. So,
Miss Westenra.
Aye, ah, Miss Pretty Westenra. Could I resist the request of my most promising pupil and also the men who saved me by quick thought from a gangrene?
I only did what anyone would have done, sir.
John, John, do not turn away the gratitude of a fellow human being. It's a rare commodity. Now, this girl we are to see.
Ah, yes. A girl of such charm and exquisite good nature, and such looks. It's not possible to tell
you. Why, you sound like a moonstruck fool. If it's love we are looking for, I am home going now.
No, no, I assure you it is not. Lucy Westenra is engaged to a better man than I.
Oh, sure. So, you say listless, you say tired, you say worn out by the slightest exertion.
Yes, and since you received my letter, she sunk much further. She appears almost bloodless. Now, I've tested her blood, and it seems rich enough. Yet every evening she sleeps and wakes the next morning ever more listless.
Indeed, indeed. She sleeps alone?
She does, yes. And she also had a phase of sleepwalking, and she was brought back to bed only by the urgent ministrations of a friend who has since left the country, a Miss Murray.
Sleepwalking dreams she claims not to remember. A Miss Murray who left the country already. So pity with her, I would have preferred a word or two. However, we must see this paragon.
Yes, but her mother must not know of our anxiety. She is very ill, a weak heart.
It never comes trouble but in groups like this. So, is her man to be here?
He is coming from the country. Unfortunately, his father...
Ah, also sick, no doubt. This climate is not good for such people. We go in.
Lucy? Lucy, are you awake?
Oh, dear John, please don't look so frightened. Come in and bring your friend, the great Professor Van Helsing, I think.
Mademoiselle, I am charmed to be meeting with you, but sorry only to find you not well. So, I want to look at you.
I'm afraid I am rather weak.
She was better the day.
From the patient I will hear, not from her physician. You clog the issue with too much knowledge. If you please, Miss Weston, I want one word with my friend, and then I will make the examination. Hmm? John?
John.
She is worse even than before. She makes an effort on your account, but don't be fooled.
What? The great Van Helsing? I will not be fooled, as you say it. This girl is very close to an end. I see her, and I know. We have drastic things to do. Her fiancé?
In half an hour at St. Pancras.
Go to him, bring him back as soon as you can, and prepare him for something urgent. Something we must do for the child.
But what shall I tell him?
Nothing but to be aware she is going down. Let me caution you. All men are mad in some ways, and in as much as you deal discreetly with your madmen, so deal with God's madmen too, the rest of the world. We must keep what we know and what we learn in our own heads to share one with the other.
You are afraid, sir.
Afraid? The great Van Helsing is not afraid, John. I urge you to make note. Learn, watch, rely on nothing you have heard or learned before. Nothing is too small. So, I will take in my bag and the ghastly paraphernalia of our beneficial trade and begin. Get her loving friend quickly.
In episode 3 of Dracula by Bram Stoker, adapted for radio by Nick McCarty, the cast was as follows. Mina was played by Phyllis Logan, Lucy by Sharon Maharaj, Seward by Peter Blythe, and Quincy by Paul Burchard. Jonathan Harker by Bernard Holly, Renfield by David McHale, Arthur Homewood was played by Crawford Logan, and Abraham Van Helsing by Finlay Welsh. Mrs. Westenra by Stella Forge, and Sister Agnes by Wendy Seeger. Foreman by Ian Sexton, Adams by Tom Smith. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clark in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer in our Edinburgh studios was Hamish Wilson. As Van Helsing and John Seward struggle to save Lucy's life from the mysterious illness which assails her, at Seward's asylum, Renfield's behaviour becomes even stranger. Dracula.
Arthur! Arthur! Over here. I have a cab waiting. Hurry.
Is your man here?
He is here. And he is afraid. I saw it in his eyes. I've never seen it before.
Oh, Lucy.
In the best of hands. Get in.
Thank you. Quick as a cab would be. Right, Captain.
John? Ah, sir, my lord, is it how I should address you, sir?
Not yet, Doctor. Now, my Lucy?
You love her?
Tell me she will live.
She is very ill. We have no time for politenesses now. Come, come. I tell you, this is dreadful. There is no time to be lost. She will die for her want of blood to keep her heart's action. She has lost so much. There must be a transfusion. So.
You will give her blood?
You will give her blood, Sir Arthur. John, you may assist me.
Of course.
Come along.
Oh, God! So pale. Like
alabaster, yes. She is on the edge, dear friend. Come, come. You are to help her. Your courage is the best help.
I would give my life for her, sir.
The last drop of blood in my body.
I think, my young sir, I do not ask as much as that. Not the last.
Tell me what I must do.
You will have a vein opened, and she too, and we will pass the blood of one to the other. It is her only chance.
I...
Harry, share your coat. Oh, I'll kiss her once, if you must, and then let the... Is John, the scalpel and the...
Of course, Peter.
Good.
Let's see. Very well. I'm ready.
So, we are done, Arthur. Now you must rest, sir.
You have done well, Arthur.
Will she be...
You see the colour back in her face. She sleeps. Now rest is what she needs most.
My friend. What can I say? What can I do to thank you?
Go, rest, and let her sleep.
John, a word.
I have to go. I have some books to consult.
But she is going to be all right.
I show you something. Come closer. You see around her show white neck a velvet band. Very lovely. I move it so. She will sleep with the narcotic I have given her. I show you what?
A small mark on her throat? Mm. Two punctures?
Quite so. Over the jugular vein. Not large, as you see. Not diseased or poisoned in any way, but something unwholesome. Describe to me.
The edges of the wounds are white, torn a little, as if by trituration.
Good pupil. So?
I don't know.
I will to Amsterdam go this evening. You will remain all night here and not let your sight pass from her. I shall bring some things for the room. There is a market nearby.
Yes, of course. Shall I have a nurse?
We are the best nurses, you and I. Make sure she is well fed and that nothing disturbs her. Later, maybe we may sleep. I shall be back as soon as possible and then we may begin.
Begin? What do you mean?
We shall see. Remember, if you leave her and harm come to her, you shall not sleep easy hereafter.
Oh, my arm is...
Gently now, Lucy. It is bandaged, that's all.
I feel awake for the first time for months. Where is Professor Van Helsing?
He has gone back to Amsterdam. Oh, excuse me. He will return very soon, he said.
Hmm. Oh, that smell. What is it? Oh, I believe there's some joke here. There's garlic round my bed and garlic flowers. Horrid smell.
You must not move them. On your life, Lucy. He said there is a virtue in these common flowers. Wear them as a protection, he said.
A protection from what?
I don't know. I only know he begged me to ensure that you kept them here, close, and that you did not open the windows. He insisted that I warn you not to open the windows which he has rubbed with garlic, nor to remove the flowers, even if the room becomes very close.
I might begin to think he was working some ancient spell to keep out evil spirits.
Well, nevertheless, please do not remove them.
Oh, very well. Though I feel cured already. And you poor man, have you been watching me all night?
I am told to watch you until he returns. I have my orders.
This is silly, John. I shall be better now. You shall see.
You must eat.
And you must sleep.
I have already told your mother that I shall be staying another evening at least. Oh. But today, I must go back to the country. I have some reports to write.
Please, John, rest.
No, I may not. I will tell your mother that you would like breakfast, and I shall return this afternoon.
Dear John... Thank you. I shall write to Mina and tell her what good friends I am blessed with.
I'll go and have a little talk with him. Wait outside, will you, just to be sure?
Right you are, sir.
Mr. Renfield, and how are you feeling this afternoon?
You've been burning the candle at both ends, sir. You look tired out.
I am tired, very.
I've always been of the opinion that tiredness in a doctor is a dangerous thing. Both for himself and for his patients.
I had urgent business to attend to.
May I beg a favour of you, Dr. Seward?
Certainly.
Whatever happens, sir, please don't let them put me in a straitjacket, sir. Please.
sometimes for your own good.
I'm trying to control myself, Doctor. I have to control. But my master says I must.
Your master?
Oh, not for your understanding, sir. My master is close by. He will free me. He promised me.
I see.
No, I think not. You think this is Renfield being mad again, hearing voices, crazed. I assure you, it is not so. I assure you. Promise me I shall not be in the jacket. Promise me.
I cannot promise.
Help me! He's got a knife! He's... Damn you, sir! Damn! Get off me! Get off! Get him off! In the corner! Kill him! Mind the knife! Hold it! You're cut, sir!
More blood than pain.
What's he doing on the floor? Oh, God!
He's licking up the spots of blood. Oh, God, no!
You're lucky to be alive, John.
Hmm? Oh, no, I was to blame. He was so calm, so gentle. I really felt I was talking to a perfectly normal person, and then suddenly he was at me like a demon.
John, can we please let the smell of this garlic out of the room? Open the window for a moment or two, please. The smell is so strong.
No, I dare not. Forgive me. My professor would be furious. So, time to sleep, Lucy. I shall sit here, and tomorrow Van Helsing will be back, and then I may get an hour's sleep myself, perhaps.
You need to rest, at least. There's a room off this one. You can surely lie on the sofa there and be near enough to satisfy your old teacher.
No, Van Helsing insisted.
I know nothing would induce you to sleep while there's a patient on the horizon. I shall call out if I need anything. I shall not rest easy if you insist on sitting in my room. Please.
Oh, very well. I admit I am exhausted. It is nearly 3 days since I slept.
John? Lucy? Lucy. Oh, darling child. No wonder you can't sleep. The room's like a furnace and the smell of garlic is disgusting. Out it can go. And the flowers. Oh, that's what's making you restless, dearest. I'll take them out. I'll just peep in on Dr. Seward, Poor worn-out man. I'll open the window. Let some air in. Be better now. Mara's taken away those smelly flowers.
Yes, sir?
Good morning. Announce from Helsing, if you please, my dear child.
Yes, sir.
No need. Please come in, sir. Come in and hear our good news.
My dear Mrs. Westenra, you two are looking less tired.
Because your patient is sleeping like a babe. I didn't go in case I disturbed
her. Ah, so? Good. I thought I had diagnosed the case. My treatment is working.
You must not take all the credit yourself, Doctor. Lucy's state this morning is in part due to me.
Explain yourself. Please?
I was anxious about the dear child in the night.
Uh-huh.
I went into her room and she was sleeping. The room was awfully stuffy. And I feared the heavy odour of garlic would be too much for a child as weak as she, so I took it all away and opened the window.
Seward!
John!
He was overcome with tiredness, Professor. He had to sleep. He couldn't help himself.
Mrs. Westenra, would it be possible for me to have a cup of so nice tea?
Of course. You see the child.
John! John! John Seward! John Seward! John! Seward!
John! I'm sorry. I couldn't help sleeping, sir.
No. 3 nights is too long. So, what is to be done? Oh, what? Oh, look at the child. What have we done to be so... This is a pagan thing, John. The poor mother doing what she knew nothing of... We must not tell her what she has done, or it will kill her for sure. Now, oh, how are the powers of the devils come against us? Act. We must act. Devils or no devils, we fight him. We must fight them all the same. You will give your blood. I am too old. My blood is too thin to be of use. Now, hurry.
Too late.
Too late. Too late. Lucy!
You see, the flowers gone and the window open. Wait. She has a little life in her.
Lucy!
So, first gain is ours. I see not light in life over her horizon.
She is breathing now, Sir Arthur. The shock will kill the mother. Send one of the maids to look after her. We must consult what to do.
I'll see how her mother is. I trust Lucy in your hands.
Professor, Have you seen the wounds at her throat? They are horribly white and mangled. Mm. God, cover them before Arthur sees them.
We need more blood. Arthur cannot so soon give again. We need more.
Arthur sent me in. Mm? He's looking pretty rotten. Oh, my God.
What the devil are you?
We can provide the blood between us. Quincy, just in time.
5th Cavalry, that's me. What do you want?
Blood!
John.
The others?
Sleeping. Lucy?
Asleep.
Is she better?
You must know something, my friend. We have lost her. Come. I show you something I hope never to see in my life. She is sleeping now. I have replaced the garlic and the flowers.
Too late.
How beautiful she looks.
You think? Yet her face is white. And see? The mouth open. Her teeth, my friend. Look at her teeth.
Well, why? What is it, man?
See the gums. Very pale. And the teeth themselves seem...
pointed? Longer? It's a trick of the light. Nothing.
Do not open the window, my friend, please.
What on earth? It's a huge bat. See, it's away now, over against the trees.
Yes, I see. I beg you, do not take your eye off your charge. Wait. Oh, my God.
What is it?
Light. I want light. Let me be sure. Look, my boy. Before I cover her neck...
They have disappeared. The marks, the holes. They've absolutely disappeared.
If I say it is best, you will not understand me. But I tell you, it will not be long now. It will be much difference, mark me, whether she dies conscious or in her last sleep.
Oh, Lucy!
Dear Lord, please help her to live and to be loved. Please save her. Please, God.
Come, my dear old fellow. All your fortitude. It will be easiest for her.
How can you say that, mister? Easy to lose a love.
Better than what would be left, sir.
Dear Arthur.
My love.
Come along, old chap, and leave them.
Oh, never. On my life, never.
Arthur. Not yet. Don't kiss yet. Hold her hand. It will comfort her more.
Arthur. Oh, my love. I'm so glad you've come. Kiss me. Kiss me. Hold me and kiss.
Oh, my dearest.
Never. Never. Not for your life. Not for your living soul and hers. No.
Kiss me.
He shall not. He shall not.
Please. Please. Oh, love.
No. No, sir. No.
Thank you, my true friend. Guard him. Give him peace.
I swear it. Come, Arthur. Take her hand and kiss her on the forehead. And only once. Only once.
We thought of dying whilst she slept, and sleeping when she died. Oh, well, poor girl. There is peace for her at last. It is the end.
Not so, alas. It is only the beginning.
It's a privilege to attend on her, indeed.
Please, go.
Go, sir. She will be a credit to our establishment. Beautiful corpse, sir. She is laid out as the foreign gentleman asked.
Right. Now do as this poor man asks and leave us, sir.
Just to be sure the formalities have been seen to, authorities notified and so on, sir.
I am a doctor. I assure you we have done everything necessary.
Very well, then. Tomorrow morning, 9 sharp. Will there be many mourners?
Not many, good day, sir.
It's tragic when a mother dies after her own daughter. Sad.
She had a weak heart,
sir. Oh, in the name of go away, sir. Go.
Flowers?
Go.
If that will be all. Mute.
Halt for... Such a man. Now, Arthur, you must be busy to take your mind from it all. Eh? I have no doubt you have things that must be done. John and I... We'll sit with her. Quincy will come with you.
Sure. Are the lawyers to see her?
Yes.
And they had no one to attend them.
Oh, bear up, Arthur.
Gentlemen, may I go and see? Cook and I wanted to pay our respects.
Yes, of course.
Tell the truth, sir. Some of the neighbours have already been. They were well liked. I don't know what's to become of Cook and me.
You shall get good references, be sure of that.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, I'm sure.
You're right, Hilsinger. I shall busy myself. Gentlemen.
Quincy. I'm right here. Now, what are you hiding from me?
Hiding? Hiding from my such best pupil? Never.
You're not telling me everything.
I have been through all her papers. Do you know she wrote a letter last night, an account of what occurred?
I failed her, it seems.
Oh, no. There were forces abroad then that you could never defeat. No blame, John, no. I'm searching this morning to find all papers she has written, diaries, and so on. Before anyone should find... I will read a little, and you may understand. I was wakened by the flapping at the window, which had begun after that sleepwalking on the cliff at Whitby. I tried to go to sleep, but could not.
I was afraid to sleep, and yet, perversely, sleep would come on when I did not want it. I looked out of the window and heard a sort of howl, like a dog's. And then a big bat buffeted his wings against the window yet again. Mother came in, and I was as if asleep. She took the garlic flowers placed by the nice professor and closed the door into the room in which John Seward lay sleeping. Having opened the window, she left. I watched
as a myriad of little specks seemed to come blowing through the open window. I remember nothing more until the air seems full of specks floating and circling and lights burn blue and dim. What am I to do? God shield me from harm this night. Goodbye, dear Arthur, if I should not survive this night. God keep you dear and help me. I feel so cold.
Dear God.
Indeed. So, I search for her papers, everything. Already I put with her a crucifix from my own mother. It will give her some protection.
Even now?
Even now, my friend, yes. And from the kitchen we will bring more garlic where I put it before. And this evening, my friend, bring here a set of post-mortem knives.
A post-mortem? In secret?
Of a sort, my friend, of a sort.
He seems to be bearing it well enough, John. God knows it's a dreadful business. A mother and a daughter together.
It was to be expected from the mother, Quincy. Her heart was... well, frail.
Is he about?
The professor... he's just gone in to sit with her.
All night? Is this some old English custom or what?
Well, he says it's to protect her.
My word, but he is a strange man.
Who took it? Who?
Professor, please don't shout, sir. Took what?
Shout! I shout that... oh, the poor girl left defenseless. Too late for your knives and your post-mortem and... someone took the crucifix from the dear girl. Too late now for protecting her. Now we have lost her. Now we must, with all haste, to the burial, and then, after watching, waiting, praying...
Arthur, I have grown to love you, my dear boy. I have a favor to ask you.
If it concerns my dear Lucy... I know she trusted you. I do the same, sir.
I ask permission to read Miss Lucy's paper and letters. And not from idle curiosity. She would have approved, I believe. I have them with me ready to return if you insist. I will not show them to you yet, nor to a soul. But through them I can see into her soul.
You must do as you think right. You will tell me when the time is right.
This Miss Murray, I would like, if possible, to have words with her. You can find her, this Miss Mina.
I will try.
So. We arrive. It will soon be done. For the moment.
I think so. If you would be kind enough to give me your arm, I feel you...
Of course.
What did you mean for the moment?
Nothing.
Oh,
Jonathan, darling, you wear me quite out.
I'm so happy, my dear Mina, for the first time since that dreadful night.
No, Jonathan, not a word about it. Just thank God for the generosity of dear Mr. Hawkins. We have been so lucky, my darling.
I never thought to be left the whole practice and the house. It was generous indeed. So, I know he would not be unhappy for us to celebrate. We shall walk in Green Park, take in a theatre perhaps, and then dine at wherever Mrs. Harker shall decide.
Mrs. Harker. Oh, I like the sound of that so much. Mrs. Harker. Jonathan, to tell the truth, I would like a quiet evening with you. And nothing more than a turn in the cathedral close at home in Exeter. And you playing the piano for me. Jonathan? Jonathan, are you listening? What is it?
The other side of Piccadilly. On the corner. Under the lamp. See the man in the doorway watching. See the tall old man with the girl.
The beautiful young girl in grey and silver, huh?
Behind them, see? Standing. Watching them.
The man with the pale face, yes. You know him, my dear.
I am sure it is he. The man himself. I swear it. Count Dracula. But somehow changed.
Jonathan, dear, we have done too much. You're overtaxed.
I know what I am seeing. The dreadful thing is, see, he moves closer as they get into that cab. He follows after. Dear God. The dreadful thing is, he's younger. Years younger. God, help me.
In episode 4 of Dracula by Bram Stoker, dramatized for radio by Nick McCarty, the cast was as follows. Mina was played by Phyllis Logan, Dr. John Seward by Peter Blyth, Arthur Homewood by Crawford Logan, Van Helsing by Finlay Welsh, and Lucy by Sharon Maharaj. Adams was played by Tom Smith, Renfield by David McHale, Jonathan Harker, Bernard Holly, Quincy, Paul Burchard, Mrs. Westenra, Stella Forge, the maid, Alexa Kesselaar, and the undertaker, Peter D'Souza. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clarke in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer in our Edinburgh studios was Hamish Wilson. Lucy Westenra is dead. Her funeral has been held, and following it, Van Helsing and John Seward are in Seward's London club. Dracula.
Professor, you really must not in here.
I was thinking. If only they knew what I am thinking, they would not lie about in leather armchairs surrounded by unread papers. They would be writing learned letters to the Thunderer and...
Be quiet.
Oh, I beg your pardon, my dear friend. Do not think I am not sad, though I laugh. The laugh come all the same. Laugh is the king. He asked not to come or to go. He choose. And he come and go as he please. I grieve my heart away for that young girl. I give time and sleep and my heart. Yes?
Yes.
And yet, King laugh. Come and dance to a tune he play. Mm. Bleeding hearts and bones in the churchyard dance to the music he make. Tears burn as they fall. This irony. The so lovely lady garlanded with flowers. She looked so fair in life. One by one we wondered if she be dead. Laid in that fine marble house, in that lonely cemetery, laid with her kin, and indeed her mother, and the sacred bell going toll, 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 sad and slow, and holy men pretending to read pages from holy books and never once looking on the page. For what? She is dead, is she not?
Dear Arthur's heart breaks yet.
Just so. Said he not that the transfusion of his blood had made her his bride truly?
It comforts him to feel it, yes.
Had you seen into my heart when I laugh in there? Had you seen? You would pity me the worst of all.
I'm sorry.
No need yet. She lies in her tomb, and the sun will rise over Highgate Hill. Quincy will take care of your friend down in the country, and you will go back to your work if you can. And I will see Miss Mina Murray to ask her a question or two, perhaps.
You are hiding something yet.
When we are professor, it is necessary to let out knowledge drip by drip, to let others expand their minds, their experience, their beliefs. So, yes? Yes. I will leave this tomb to you, dear pupil, for the moment. Very good it was to come and meet with me from the station. You have no idea what good it does an old man to be met by such a girl as you are.
Sir, you hardly know me or what I am.
You forget. I have the letters read that you wrote to that dear child. Madam Mina, I know of your faith and your marriage and your kindness to dear Lucy, and so forgive me, but I know you a little at least.
She was such a good friend to me.
Indeed.
And Sir Arthur, Lord Godalming, as we must learn to call him, is he recovered?
He is buoyed up by good friends, by my old pupil, John Seward, and by Mr. Quincy, the American friend. The cathedral is very fine. May we go in?
If you wish.
It is good sometimes to be reminded of other truths, other worlds, other hopes. Such an institution, this tea in the morning, tea in the afternoon, tea in the evening. At home, we have no such customs. I like.
I think you wanted to ask me something. Something connected with Lucy's...
To the point. It's the English way of things. I want to learn from you what happened in Whitby. I know you love Lucy, and I know you care for others. In the name of that, and of her you loved, I ask you to tell me about your time together in Whitby.
I can do better, sir. I can offer you my diary. I wrote it all down. I have it ready for you, for I guessed it would be about these matters that you came to see me.
Madame Mina, what can I say? If I read it now, I may then ask you some questions? Thank you. No. A little tea is lovely, but excess? No, thank you. So, Miss Mina Murray, let us see into your private soul here. 8th August. Very well. Yes, begin. Lucy was very restless all night, and I too could not sleep. The storm was fearful, and as it boomed loudly amongst the chimney pots, it made me shudder. 10th August. The funeral of the poor sea captain today was most touching. We were in our seat on the headland near the grave. A cortege of boats took him up the river to the viaduct and came
perhaps
down.
Perhaps he had seen death with his dying eyes. One of the old men came up with his dog. The dog would not come to his master by the grave, but kept a few yards off, barking, howling, and with savage eyes and hair bristling. The man took it
and dragged it to the tombstone on which the seat is fixed. And instantly the dog crouched and trembled, quivering and cowering.
Here now. 11th of August, 11 o'clock p.m. I am so tired. If it were not that I have made it my duty, I would not open my diary tonight. Lucy, at dinner, seemed her old self, smiling and lively, and all her color returned. I only wish I knew if Jonathan were as happy. As safe.
3 a.m. No sleep now. Too agitated to sleep. Such an adventure. I woke to find Lucy gone. Her bed empty and the door shut but not locked. I threw on my shawl and, fearing to wake her mother, hurried
now,
from the bed.
Here. Oh, wait, here. When I got to the top of the steps past the abbey, I saw her. I felt as if weighed with lead, but on the seat, her white figure with something, undoubtedly something long and black, crouched over her. I called out in fright.
Lucy! I ran across the churchyard towards her. When I was near enough to see her again, she was alone, her head lying back over the seat.
Lucy? Here. Yes. Same day, noon. Lucy slept till I woke her and seemed none the worse for her adventure. I was sorry to notice that my clumsiness with the brooch I used to hold the shawl to her when I brought her home had caused a hurt to her sweet neck. I must have pinched up a piece of loose skin and have transfixed it. There are two little red points, and on the band of her nightdress, a drop of blood. Now, Van Helsing, now, all. God give me strength. Poor Lucy.
I often walk to my husband's office at this time. Yes. We stroll home together. He needs me to be with him, you see.
I want you to know, madame, that my admiration for you is unbounded. Your diary was like sunshine. It opened a gate for me. I am dazed. I am dazzled by it. You will not understand, Madame Mina, but if ever Abraham van Helsing can do anything for you and yours, I trust you will let me know. Your husband has married one of the lights in the world, believe me.
My husband has been greatly upset again, sir.
Oh, that is not good. Not after the events he suffered.
It had to do with someone he saw. In London on Thursday last, he saw someone who recalled something that almost led to his relapse. You say you can and will help me.
Yes.
Dear God, please tell me what I can do. The pity for Jonathan is that he is afraid. He is so afraid that maybe he is mad.
Listen to me. Sit on this wall and listen to me.
I'm so frightened.
Listen. You are to understand that what I am here for is so strange, so absurd, that I cannot burden you with it. But I try to keep my mind open, like the book, even to those strange things that make one doubt if they be mad or sane. So.
I think I understand.
Your husband, he is lucky in you, and he is not, I think, mad. Why would he think himself so?
When he knew you were coming, he said I could tell you of something. His journal, that he brought from that terrible place. All that happened is in here. All. Maybe when you read it, you can tell me what you think.
I will read it. And then perhaps your husband and I could meet, if I may.
Have lunch with us tomorrow before you catch your train to Paddington.
Now, go to your husband and give him a nice supper and maybe a glass of wine. I will go to my hotel and read. Of Jonathan Harker. So, to begin at the beginning.
John Harker, welcome.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula.
Damn it! There's a man there in the shadow with a plan.
Paper, pen. So, Ja, goed, ja. Nou. Madame Mina Harker, what shall I say? I have read your husband's wonderful diary. He is a noble fellow, and let me tell you that to do as he did and go down into that room to find what he found, he is not anything but sane, I promise you. I have learned so much, I cannot know how I am to be thanking you. I am dazzled more than ever. I have some work for your husband. I will write more fully. Forgive me, lunch. Yours, the most faithful, Abraham von Helsing.
I get mystery stripes again. Lovely lady
boy's
child. I get mystery stripes again.
Boy.
Thanks, Dad. I get mystery stripes again. Lovely lady.
Oh, God. Man, God, so soon. So very soon.
Cab! Cabin!
You were deuced lucky to find me in town. I am neglecting my duty.
Then neglect it for a few hours more, my dear friend. You have read the report?
I have, yes. Why on earth should it interest
you? You want to know who did the deed? Who is the mystery lady in Highgate?
It's all a newspaper man's bid to sell newspapers, surely.
Oh, no, sir, no. We are going, and I will show you why you should be interested, pupil of mine. Sister, I ask you, please.
Dr. Seward, I don't think Matron will...
Please, sister.
The child is very young. There are newspaper men
we
demanding...
We will not tire him, I promise you, sister.
Oh, very well. Through the doors and on the left. I'll show you. But be quick. Charles is in the end bed.
Thank you, sister.
Charlie? Some gentlemen to see you.
Hello, Gav. Can I go home to my mum?
Hello, Charlie. Here, I brought sweet for you.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you want to hear about the beautiful lady, do you? Mm-hmm.
Charlie, stop telling the tale. He tells the newspaper reporters this silly story. It was a rat. Or a bat, maybe, bit you. See the teeth marks on the neck, Dr. Seward? Mm-hmm.
It was a lady. Long blonde hair and a long white robe. And like an angel, mister. No one believes me.
Oh, yes, Charlie. Oh, yes. I do.
You're in a hurry.
I am anxious, my friend. Anxious.
Where are we going, sir?
Here. We stop here and walk in here by the gate. A small space.
Cemetery? Haggard. I won't believe what I am beginning to think you...
You would never know the truth. Is your nerve failing?
Come along, then. The Westerner tomb is to the left.
Oh, I know very well where it is.
Key. Do we have a key to get into the mausoleum?
I took it after the funeral. I thought perhaps... Well, no matter what I thought. See with your own eyes. Hear with your own ears. Believe what you will. Good. So, we go in. Here. Hold the candle. So. Yes. There. So. Now, I will show you something, my friend. Where is it? Where? Ah, here. So here. A turn screw. Good. Hold the candle steady, John.
What are you doing?
To open the lid.
This is desecration.
This is mercy, my friend. Mercy. Remember how she thanked me for keeping her from her lover. She will thank us all. Good. Now, we lift the lid. So. And with the candle we see... What do we see, my dear friend?
No. I don't believe... It can't be empty.
Oh, yes. It is empty. It is night, my friend, and the coffin can leave. Are you satisfied now?
Get me out. Get me
Let me get out.
So, who made the marks on the child? I will tell you. Dear, sweet, lovely angel, the dead Lucy.
No.
Wait. When we come next, my friend, you will bring a surgeon's bag with you. If you please, value the peace that dear girl deserved. Now, help me replace the lid and we can leave.
Empty? Good God, man, you can't expect us to believe. God damn it, that's nothing to do with our Lucy. Tell the man, Seward, tell him.
Quincy,
you have traveled, have you? In South America, for example.
Why, sure I have. Sure. So?
Tell us about the bats there, Mr. Morris.
Oh, hell, man. They're big, big bats, and they come looking for blood, and they hang on to a horse's rump or the cattle in the pampas, and they suck and suck and... Sure. You saying this kid was attacked by one of them bats?
I'm saying nothing, my American friend, nothing. But Lucy has been absent from her coffin, and we know that.
Taken, it happens. She's been stolen.
You telling us that the holes in those kids' necks and those in Lucy's neck were made by the same critter?
I'm saying much worse than that.
In God's name, what?
They were made by Miss Lucy.
No, sir. No, sir. No!
Arthur. Lucy is undead. There is a duty before us, my friends. Arthur, my dear young friend, it is you we must ask to help first.
I cannot believe what I hear.
Then you must believe what you see.
Take care, sir. Take care.
Arthur, wait.
I can go on. And you shall know the limit of my purpose, yes?
Go on.
Miss Lucy is dead, is it not so?
Yes.
Then there can be no wrong to her, but if she be not dead...
Good God. Do you mean she may have been buried alive?
No! I told you. She is of the undead. There are mysteries man can only guess at, which age by age they may solve in part only. We are on the edge of such.
What would you do if you found her?
I cut off the head of dead Miss Lucy.
Not for the earth. No! Why do you torture me, sweet girl?
You should know, Sir Arthur, that I loved that child. Between us, we gave blood and skill and honor, and if my death can do her good, even now she shall have it freely. I want you to come and to see and to decide then. I beg you.
Courage, Arthur.
John, you brought the things I asked.
Yes.
Now, Arthur, your English upper lip, sir. I have the key.
You were all here for the funeral, and you saw the dear child buried.
This ain't right.
I swear to you, she will bless the things we do for her now. So...
John, please be good enough to help me answer.
Hold on, my friend.
I cannot go through with this. I cannot.
You must.
Hold up a lantern, Quincy. Are you ready?
Empty. Lordy, Lord. Now, this is a mystery indeed, sir.
There are children which have suffered. Always at night, like now. Only at night the undead can move. And there are things that can hold them back. Garlic, for one.
Garlands of garlic. The crucifix.
Yes, my boy, yes. Now, I will seal the tomb that the undead may not return.
Why? Let her rest in peace.
That we shall do if you permit, but first you shall see her. John, close the coffin and screw down the lid. I will take you back with me. Come along, Arthur. Quincy, be good enough to help our friend.
Is he crazy, John?
Or am I?
I don't know. If he isn't, then we owe it to that poor girl to help her. If even half what he says is true, and she is undead.
Let's get out. This place stifles me.
What are you doing?
This wafer is the sacred host. I will close the tomb so that the undead cannot enter.
You can lock the door, Professor.
Good. John will lock. I will use this wafer, which I brought by special indulgence.
Host indulgence?
Professor Helsing, surely, as a man of science, you cannot...
There are things you know nothing of. Things in this world, out of this world, part of this world. I seal the door with the pieces of wafer. So. And our undead will not be able to return, even though the coming of the dawn will force her.
So, now?
We wait. We wait and watch. And are very still.
Long?
Wait. Listen. Look, over there. By the trees, you see?
It's her. Lucy.
Want your lives. Do not move now. This, the undead. She has the child still.
Stop her. Stop her in God's name.
She's bending her face to the child's neck. Van Helsing, stop her.
See her face? She had mouth in the moonlight. She...
Blood. Dear sweet Lucy, and... Blood. Oozing from her mouth and over the grey clothes. Her lips are crimson and glistening. No. No.
Stop her. So uncover the lantern. Now. Now she can see us.
She's dropped. God above, see her eyes.
Lucy.
Lucy.
Arthur, stay here, sir.
Arthur. Leave them and come to me. My arms are hungry for you. Come, and we can rest together. Come, my husband. Come to me!
Oh, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in the sight of this crucifix, I forbid you!
She can't get in! Look at her! She can't get in!
Am I to proceed with my work? Tell me, Arthur, you must tell me, my friend, am I to proceed?
Do as you will, my friend. This opera... Do what you must.
Very well. Look to your friend, John. Quincy, see to the child. I shall remove the host from the door so that she may go to her resting place. See? She changes form and shape and...
God. But
the undead, my dear friend, exist on different levels. She is gone, I assure you. Oh, you are in bitter waters, my child. In the next hour, you will have begun to pass out of them and have drunk of sweet waters. Now, John, come with me and bring with you the tools I asked you to bring.
I must see her. If she be there, I must see her.
John, take the candles and light them from the lantern.
Good.
Help me take the lid from the coffin.
Very well.
And don't be afraid of what you see, Arthur. What we do now is from the lore and experience of the ancients. It comes down the ages to us how to deal with the powers of the undead. They are cursed with immortality. They cannot die, and only add to the tally of victims age by age. So the circle widens like ripples in a pond. Arthur, had you met that kiss, you would, in time, when you died, have become Nosferatu, as they call it in Eastern Europe, and you, too, would have made more and more of those undeads that fill us with horror. Those childs, she suck the blood. They not yet will turn, but if she live on undead, they lose more and more of the blood and become in her power. If she die, the tiny wounds on them disappear. And if we do the things we have to do, she will rest with the angels as she should.
Amen to that, sir. Amen to that. I've wrapped the child in my coat. She'll be fine.
Arthur, will you strike the first blow, my friend? Set her free. No,
that it was your hand that sent her to the stars. The hand of him that loved her best. The hand of him she chose. Will you do it?
Tell me and I will do it. I must do it. Though it break my heart, I shall not falter. Just tell me.
Brave lad, a moment's courage. It will be done. The stake drawn. This stake is of holly. It must be driven through. It will be fearful for you to be not deceived. Do that as we pray for you, and we can do the rest.
Give me the stake. Now, this is not Lucy, but a fiend. The blood on her mouth, the sharp teeth over her lip. The blood trickles even now from the corners. She seems almost to smile at it. Where? Where? Hurry, man!
Over her heart, yes. So, and the hammer now. I have the book, I drew the power. Begin, begin, and when you are done, we take her head from her and her heart from her body and stuff the mouth of the lovely head with garlic. Begin!
Jesus Christ, we commend to Almighty God our sister, and we commit her body to its resting place, earth to earth, ashes to dust. The Lord bless her and keep her. The Lord make his face to shine upon her and be gracious unto her. The Lord lift up his countenance upon her and give her peace.
In episode 5 of Dracula by Bram Stoker, adapted for radio by Nick McCarty, the cast was as follows. Dr. John Seward was played by Peter Blyth, Van Helsing by Finlay Welsh, Mina by Phyllis Logan, and Arthur by Crawford Logan, Quincy by Paul Burchard, and Lucy by Sharon Maharaj. Sister was played by Alexa Kesselaar, and Charlie by Rosemary Evans. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clarke in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer, in our Edinburgh studios, was Hamish Wilson. Now that Arthur Homewood and Quincy Morris have been convinced of the existence of the vampire, the friends must find Count Dracula. But how? Dracula.
John, you must listen to me. We must do something. We must act.
I know. I know what we should do. I know it is important, but after what we did with that thing, I can see her still writhing and thrashing and foaming blood all over her coffin, and I... Do you think cutting her head from... We both work with people who are damaged in the mind. We know enough, Professor. We know what can happen. I feel sick every time I think of it. I just want to get on with my work.
Well, I will have to hunt down this Count Dracula on my own. Maybe Madame Harker and her so helpful husband will help me.
Oh, damn you, sir! Damn you. Of course I will help you, but don't think I want any part of... I see her still with her mouth at that child's throat.
So. A cheerful task for you before I go away.
Yes.
I go to Paddington, and you come also.
Very well. And Quincy?
Oh, still in the country with Arthur. He too is not yet recovered. So, we work together again, John. And the esteemed Madame Mina Harker. Dear boy, she will easily be to recognize. I recognize her myself, but I cannot stay. Research is to do. A telegram to send to her husband, the estimable Harker.
How on earth, in this crowd, am I supposed to recognize Mrs. Harker?
Look for the sweetest face girl you can see, and she it will be. Now, take her to Purfleet.
I'm not sure my asylum is the place for a young lady.
God says this is a strong girl. She has heard things and seen the result of such things you have never even dreamed of. So, a few locked-up lunatics will not disturb her sleep.
In any case, I told her husband she would be there.
Damn it, man, you have the cheek.
The devil, yes. You read her papers and the Journal of Harker.
It's dreadful.
Oh, so good. You have them in your mind. Keep them safe until my returning from Amsterdam. I have a person I must talk with before we begin the hunt. So good morning to you.
Captain!
But, Professor, I... Damn the man, but he's infuriating at times.
Dr. Stewart? Oh.
Yes, yes, I am, Doctor. Mrs. Harker? How on earth did you recognize me?
I have read your description, sir, in the letters of our dear friend. And we met once, I believe. Though the circumstances gave you eyes only for one person, I am sure. It wasn't Whitby.
Ah, yes.
Has marriage changed me so much?
No, not at all. Come, we ought to go to my home. I believe your husband has been telegraphed?
Professor Van Helsing is a determined man, isn't he? Strange to be riding through these lanes, past hawthorn and cornfields, and to have such dark things over us. I pray that it can be beaten.
I have every faith in the professor, Mrs. Harker.
He said you too kept a record. May I read it, as you have read mine?
It is not exactly pleasant reading, Mrs. Harker, but of course...
Is Mrs. Harker down yet, sir?
She is reading. We can wait.
I'm late. I'm sorry.
No, please. We'll have dinner now, Hoskins.
Very good, sir.
Dr. Seward, I didn't know what to expect when I read your... I was most moved by the distress you suffered, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry if what I wrote upset you.
I was saddened, sir, because it showed me how much you have grieved. The anguish of your heart, your very soul, is there for all to understand.
Well, we have things to do now, and bury our grief in action, eh? Your husband...
is already working for the professor, checking records, papers, reports. He is going to Whitby to follow some correspondence between his firm and the lawyers acting for the Count in some matter.
Is he fit enough?
We owe it to dear Lucy. We owe it to all the others in danger, to ourselves even, to get some peace.
Nothing, sir, nothing, Mr. Harker. The late master kept a very close hand on some matters, sir. This was one of them. These overseas transactions were a mystery to me, sir. Half in French, half in German, a few in good old English.
We need to find any papers relating to Count Dracula, Pensniff. Any file, any paper, letter, bill, any receipt, any
there
note?
There was one thing, sir.
Here we are, sir. The private day book.
Good. Let me see. Dates, 6 months back.
Oh, earlier than that. I remember the first letter I penned, sir, was a year back September.
Let's see. Mrs. Wilson's emeralds? No. Damn it! Here it is. Property.
Oh, there was a deal of property involved. I think not only through us in Exeter, but others in London, sir, and the North, I believe.
I will be taking the train.
Mr. Harker,
to Whitby.
It is not an easy matter.
Nay, lad, I'm not prying into your business. I had knowledge of your late master and liked what I heard. So if you say it's a matter of urgency, it is. And Billington and Hampton are at your service.
You're more than generous.
I have in my office a box or two of papers, relevant, I believe. I must admit some of the letters are a mite strange.
We thought as much in our office, too.
You met him, then, this Count Dracula person?
I met him, yes.
Very well, Mr. Harker. Mum's the word, I see.
No, sir, no need between colleagues, of course. I see here that the cargo the Count arranged for was billed as 50 cases of common earth to be used for experimental purposes. 50 cases?
Aye, it was a lot, I know. And main heavy they were, too, by all accounts.
The ship they came on?
Strange business, that. I think you'd best talk to the harbour master, Billy Dawson. You'll find him in the Mariners, on the quayside. And you can tell him Percy Billington sent you on.
You've been most generous, Mr. Billington.
You seem agitated, sir, about the business. I don't understand why 50 cases of common or garden earth should be cause for agitation.
Nor would it be, sir, if that were all that was in those cases.
lashed to the wheel, Mr. Harker. And his face, I swear. What? I never do have to see such a face again on any man, alive or dead. He looked to have seen the bottom of hell.
And the cases?
Released to customs and excise as they should be, and gone on their way. Not sorry neither.
On their way?
Ask Johnny Griggs at the station. Station master should know what go through his place, I'd think. Now, you said something about a pint.
I did, and so you shall.
A pint of best over here, if you please.
Cases come to my notice when the carter brung them down.
Where were they bound?
Well, I noticed it because the porters grumbled so as they shifted them. I thought then they'll need to pay a price to shift them on, London. Carter Patterson for most. They'll know where they went after that. Glad to be shut of them, that's the truth. After they was all stacked in the wagon, one of the men said, rum do all that. Rum do. Sort of chill in the air. You could ask in London office of Carter Patterson, sir.
I have a telegram from Jonathan Harker.
What's the news? Is he coming to join us? I know someone would be a mite glad to see him.
After he's done a little more investigation.
Oh, it seems, Mina, that your husband fancies himself as Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
I wish he would join us, gentlemen. I feel, well, I do miss him.
Ma'am, of course you miss him. A new husband, sure, we understand. He won't be long away, will he, John?
It seems not. He has some news.
Tell us, if you please, John.
Yeah, do tell.
I will read it. I saw one of the men who brought the cases on.
I am satisfied it is all of them. They were brought... what did the man say? Honest, Gov, the house was rum, all right. Ain't been touched in 100 years. Dust so thick you might have slept in it and not hurt your bones none. You might have smelled old Jerusalem in it. The old chapel.
Took the cake to
the cake.
A chapel?
Yes, a chapel. Where, you may ask?
Tell us.
In the house beyond the wall of this asylum. There, we are neighbours.
Do you have all the papers, Mina?
More reading is not exactly my style, you know.
I have made copies for all of you, and Professor Van Helsing begged you all to take the time to read them so that you were all aware of the situation. Even the American man of action, he said.
What a lucky fellow her husband is.
I think we had best begin our task, Quincy. Before the good professor arrives.
When are we going to take a look-see at the house next door? I mean, if we know there were boxes brought from the ship, we should take a look at least. Surely.
John said he'd look into that, so I think we may have some, what would you call it, action this evening.
I never was one to sit and read when the action began. So, let's get to this. My God. What have we got here? What do we have here?
Welcome to my house.
Horrors, my friend.
Welcome.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula.
Police!
Damn it. There's a man there in the shadow with a bag.
Oh, police! Kiss! Kiss! Now!
No!
This is filth indeed. Vile stuff. Vile.
Read on. Read it all. We must know it all, my friend.
Mrs. Harker, are you happy to be here?
I am happy to be with the friends of dear Lucy, yes. I shall be happier when my husband joins me.
Ah, yes.
But this garden is a peaceful place.
Yes. Those patients we permit some liberty love it.
I should think the calm of it good for their poor minds. I had a favour to ask you.
Ask it?
I wanted to see your patient, Mr. Renfield. When I was copying your diary, the entries about him interested me so much. May I?
I have to warn you, he is not used to ladies, Mrs. Harker.
I am not used to lunatics, Dr. Seward.
Very well. Shall we go to him now? Renfield?
Hmm?
Renfield, a lady would like to see you. A friend of mine, Mrs. Harker.
Why?
Well, she is in the house,
and wants to see everyone in it.
Oh, very well. Let her come in. Let the lady come in.
Mina, be careful. He will see you, but if you feel for a moment uneasy, get to the door, and I will make sure you can get out. Now, don't be afraid.
I am not afraid, John. Not at all. Come. Good evening, Mr. Renfield. You see? I know you. Dr. Seward has told me of you.
You're not the girl the doctor wanted to marry, are you? You can't be, you know. For she's dead.
She was a dear friend of mine, Mr. Renfield.
Then I am sorry for you. And for the doctor, of course. They say he'd make a good husband.
I'm sure he would. I have a husband of my own.
Then what are you doing here?
My husband and I are staying on a visit with Dr. Seward.
Don't stay.
But why ever not?
Renfield, how did you know I wanted to marry?
What an asinine question.
I don't see that at all, Mr. Renfield.
You will, of course, understand, Mrs. Harker, that when a man is loved and honoured, as our host is, everything regarding him is of interest to our little community.
Yes, of course.
He's loved not only by his household and his friends, but even by his patients, who, being some of them hardly in mental equilibrium, are apt to distort causes and effects. Since I have been myself the inhabitant of a lunatic asylum, I cannot but notice that the sophistic tendencies of some of its inmates lean towards the error of non causa and ignoratio elenchi.
Professor Van Helsing? You're expected, sir.
I am aware of it, my friend. Dr. Seward is at home.
Him and the others, and the lady.
Ah, so. I can find my way up to the house. I thank you.
Good night, sir.
He will tell you I used to fancy that life was a perpetual and positive entity, and that by consuming a multitude of live things, one might infinitely prolong life. He will tell you I even tried to take a human life.
No, I cannot believe that.
You must. The doctor here was the man. I believed I could strengthen my vital powers by the assimilation of his blood. For the blood is the life. True, doctor?
True, but Mrs. Harker may be upset.
Mrs. Harker should hear me. She should.
I have heard you, Mr. Renfield. With great interest, sir. I hope I may see you often, under auspices pleasanter to yourself.
Well then, goodbye, my dear. I pray God I may never see your sweet face again. May he bless you and keep you.
We are fortunate gentlemen to have among us a lady of such talents. Madame Mina is not only to act as our secretary and to write out the records of our proceeding as she has. You have read them all?
Yes.
Good. Mr. Harker, you did famous work in finding the route taken by those cargoes from the Count. We are all pledged to destroy the evil they bring with them.
Absolutely.
This is no part for a woman, no.
Oh.
No, Mina, my dear child, even if not harmed, her heart may fail in so much and so many horrors.
I know what these dangers are, sir. I wrote the records, copied the diaries, hurt my dear husband.
My shame.
Oh, no, my dear, no shame.
No shame indeed. I would not expose you, Mina, dear girl, to any further dangers, and tomorrow I must ask that you take no more part in the matter.
Yes.
So, final act for you. Make record of this meeting, if you please.
Not more jawing, man. Let's be doing something. We know the house next door is empty, apart from this cargo of crates of earth. So, let's go look-see.
Always the American way, eh? Jump with the feet open and eyes shut, as you say. Let me tell you something. Vampires do exist. Even had we not proofs from our own experiences, the teaching of the past tell us so. I could never believe until the proofs were as thunder in my ears. Alas, they do not die once they sting, but sting and grow more and more powered. A vampire is strong as 20 men, cunning more than mortal, for it grows by ages. He have the power of necromancy and is a devil without a heart. He may direct the elements, storm and fog and wind, and can command rats and owl and bat. He can grow and become small. Sometimes he vanish and come unknown. It is a terrible task we undertake.
We have to destroy them. We must.
Yes, sure. Must. If it exists, we can destroy it.
If we fail, then our fate is to be as him. Foul things in the night, a blot on the face of God's sunshine. I'm old, and those days of sunshine and roses are behind me. They are to come for you yet. If we fail, remember, we will be as dear Lucy was, with no dear friend to release us.
I am with you, Professor Van Helsing. Mina and I are both with you, sir.
Count me in. Let's get to it.
I'm with you, of course. For dear Lucy's sake.
Can we count on me?
Good. Good. He lives on blood. He cannot die by the passing of time. They can grow younger if the blood be young. He throw no shadow and has no reflection. A wolf he may be, or a bat, as you saw him, Madame Mina.
Yes.
He can come on moon rays like dust and reassemble himself as whole man as he likes. He can see in the dark.
Does he have anything going against him?
As far as I understand the question, yes. He may not enter anywhere unless someone of the household beat him. Then he may come and go as he please. He can only cross running water at slack or full of the tide. There is a legend in Hun literature, and Slav also, that say he hate garlic and also the crucifix. Yes. A branch of wild rose on his coffin may keep him there. A stake through him and the head cut off. Dear, oh, no. No, to cut off the head will give him peace. So, we find... We destroy.
Yes.
This one we hunt, is from the researches I have done and through my friend Arminius of Budapest, is Voivode Dracula.
Say, come on. Get to it, please.
To point, yeah. Indeed. You trace each box and then deal with each and every one.
Very well.
So, this night we can begin.
Yes.
Madame Mina, please, now, you have done enough when you have written up the report of this meeting. By tomorrow, much may have been achieved. So, we will wish you good night.
Good night, Mrs. Harker.
Good night, Mrs. Harker. Don't be afraid for us, my dear.
So like men to assume I can just go to my bed and sleep while you all... Oh, very well. Dear Jonathan, take care and know I love you. Good night.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Yes? Sir, Dr. Seward, I have a message for you, sir.
We are very busy at the moment, Adams.
Renfield begged me to ask for 2 minutes of your time, sir. He is very insistent, sir. Upset, it seems.
You must go to him, John, of course.
I'd like to come along and see the man again. I've read so much about him.
Yes, very well. We shall come to him. Warn him that some friends of mine wish to...
Yes, sir.
Come with friends, Mr. Renfield.
Dr. Seward, gentlemen, I'm honoured. You must forgive the circumstances. Lord Godalming, I believe.
Indeed I am, sir.
I had the honour of seconding your father for the Wyndham, a much-loved and honoured gentleman. I grieve with you at his death.
You remember Quincy Morris?
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Morris, you should be proud of your state, sir. Its reception into the Union will do honour to both.
John, I thought...
You thought me mad. I am... From time to time. I have to beg you, Dr. Seward, to let me free. Please, to let me go free from here now, tonight. Instantly away from here.
I'm afraid I cannot do that.
You must. You must do it. You have to do it. I beg you. Let me go free. I will do anything for you, but I must not stay here in this house.
You are quite safe here, Renfield. Perfectly safe.
I may be safe in your eyes. Others may not. I know things. I have seen things, promised things. Time presses. The moment of our death is closer and closer, and I would die. And please, please let me. No?
No, sir. Impossible.
I cannot tell you my reasons, but be assured they are noble, honorable, good, and unselfish. If you but let me go... You would count on me as one of your friends, if you but knew why.
Tell me your reason. Tell me the true reason, and I undertake Dr. Seward will let you go.
Professor!
I have nothing to say. I'm not my own master in the matter. If I am refused, then the end of my responsibility lies there.
Come, my friends, I'm sorry, Renfield.
I entreat you.
Send me keepers with whips, chains, manacle me, straight jacket me, bind me with irons. By all you hold sacred, I beg you from the depths of my soul. By all you hold dear, by all you love, take me out of this and save my soul from guilt. I am sane! I'm no lunatic in a mad fit. I'm a sane man fighting for his very soul. Let me go. 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 Then do me the justice to remember I did try to convince you tonight. Master. 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 I am coming.
Oh, Jonathan. Dear Jonathan. Oh, love you.
Now we go forward together. No separate things.
Damned if I'd like to go off alone. It has the feel of a tomb about it.
Indeed, it is just so. A tomb. A temporary resting place. Now come, keep the crucifix again each of you about your neck and the flowers of garlic, however they smell. Keep them close and keep within the light of the lantern.
Say, Professor, I see you got a life preserver and a good old Colt.
I have the gun for other dangers, should there be any. It will not stop the undead. Are we ready?
Yes.
So, you have the plan of the building, John.
Yes, and I know the general shape of the house.
It's filthy, and no footprints in the dust. So, no one has been here for a long time.
Sherlock Holmes, indeed.
John, lead us to the chapel.
Rats. Here.
God, how I hate rats. I remember once, down the Orinoco...
Shh, here. This nailed door, the chapel door.
Now... We open and go inside, and there we shall see.
Good Lord above! Did you ever see so many, so big, like cats?
I once saw a pack of these tear down a full-grown bull with bones in 5 minutes flat.
We must, above all, we must count the boxes left here. So, hurry, hurry! Here! They're here!
The smell reminds me. I don't want to get any closer. I can't.
Easy now, Harker. Easy, my boy. Carlton, I stay here with our so brave friend.
Jonathan Harker, my boy. Sorry. Scared silly. Bit of a coward, as I told you.
Oh, no, sir. As brave a man as I know. To come here, you have seen what you have seen, and have with, oh, no. A brave man. Hurry!
These rats are multiplying. Look at them. Waves of them.
Come, my friends. Let's get out of this stink and feel. Hurry now, hurry.
Shut the door! The door!
In those rats, you see something of the power of the undead. Now, how many boxes are left?
I counted 12 down the west side.
Only 7 up the aisle.
John? 10 in the side chapel.
It's 29 out of 50. So, we have inquiries to make, Jonathan Harker, from your friends the Carters and the London solicitors. We must hunt down the rest. We must. So, come home to rest.
No, no, please, Master, please, come to the window. Yes, eyes, red eyes in a dark mist.
Show me
like you used to show me. Send me flies to eat and birds, blood. Oh, yes, rats, thousands of lives, and cats too, and I like pale people with blood in them, blood, life in each of them. Promise me, Master,
If I let you into me, promise me. Yes. Come. Come in and come in, Lord and Master. No! No, no! Stay! Stay here! Master! Stay! Not her! No! You promised!
Her, sweet blood, her.
No! I must stop you! Master!
You begged me to come in, my friends. Now I may have whatever I want here. Your neck, your blood, or that white neck. Her sweet breath, the pulsing blood at her throat. Mine, Madamina, mine!
In episode 6 of Dracula, written by Bram Stoker and adapted for radio by Nick McCarty, the cast was as follows. Van Helsing was played by Finlay Welsh, Dr. Seawood by Peter Blythe, Mina by Phyllis Logan, and Jonathan Harker by Bernard Holly. Pensniff was played by John Shedden, Billington by Raymond Ross, Old Billy by Ronnie Aitken, and Quincy by Paul Burchard. Arthur Homewood was played by Crawford Logan, Renfield by David McHale, and Adams by Tom Smith. With a guest star appearance by Frederick Jaeger as Count Dracula. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clark in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer in our Edinburgh studios was Hamish Wilson. In John Seward's asylum, Renfield has been attacked and badly injured. But who is the intruder, and where is he now? Dracula.
Careful, careful!
Don't you think I don't know careful, John?
We have to relieve the pressure on this poor brain. This ruined man. Now, a little more to drill by the ear, and maybe...
The master was here. Broke me. Broke me.
Easy now, Renfield. Easy, old chap.
Dr. Seward. Hurts.
Mr. Renfield.
Van Helsing. Ja. Gute. Ich will schlafen gut. Water.
Here, a little brandy, my friend.
Thank you, Mr. Quincy. I have something to tell before my poor, crushed brain goes out. He came in a mist. He was laughing with his red mouth at the window.
Don't talk anymore. Rest.
Sharp white teeth glinting in the moonlight. He offered me rats, millions of rats, and each a life, and each more life for me. I saw the small red eyes of those millions of lives, and he offered them to me if I would worship him. I opened the sash and called him in, Master, Lord, and he came in as the moon often passed through the smallest crack. Then he came whenever he wanted, and never asked again. And then Mrs. Harker came and gave me tea. I don't care for pale people. And she looked pale. He'd been taking the life out of her. I resolved to stop him. I'm mad. And the mad of the strength of 10, I'm told.
Mina.
I held him, and he flung me down.
and there's a red cloud before me, a noise like thunder, and he broke me. I'm sorry.
Jonathan? Mm. Wake up! Mm. Jonathan, wake! What's the matter? What's that mist? No, no!
Sound from you and I will dash your husband's brains out before your eyes. You will provide me with more refreshment.
No, please, no! Touch me!
It's not the first time your veins have slaked my death. Oh. Quiet! Lean back a little. Oh. So. Yes. So. Good. Very good. You and the others would pit your brains against mine, but you, their best beloved, are now flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood, and later you shall be my companion. When I say come, you will come to me in your mind, across sea or mountain. And to ensure it, you shall taste my blood.
Don't tear your own flesh. No, no.
There's blood from my veins.
Professor Van Helsing!
Those eyes! Those red eyes! Dear God!
Protect yourselves!
One day! One day, Professor!
Gone! She, that vapor through the open window. Gone!
Get water!
Wash your face. There's blood on her mouth.
How is she?
Shocked, Arthur, but persuaded to come and take breakfast. She need to feed the inner man. Woman's, maybe I'm meaning, eh?
Gentlemen, Jonathan needs as much comfort as she. He feels guilty, I think. Yes. So, breakfast, and then we plan, eh? We have little time. Good morning again, my dear girl. Good
morning.
Jonathan,
good
morning. Jonathan, come, sit. Would you be kind enough to pour the teas?
Yes. Of course.
My dear, maybe you should have stayed in your room.
No. Under no circumstances. She is with friends. Nina, my dear, pour the tea.
I feel unclean. You all may have cause to fear me. He made me...
Nina, you are our friend. Now, please...
Sugar, Mr. Morris?
Ma'am, I salute your courage.
You are too kind.
Madame Mina, you are not afraid for yourself, but for others from yourself, yes?
No, sir. My mind is quite made up.
To what?
If I find in myself, and I shall watch keenly for it, any signs that I would harm any that I love, I shall die.
You would not kill yourself.
If there were no friend who loved me, who would save me the pain, yes.
Mina! My child, there is such an one for you, but you must not die, not by any hand, but least of all by your own, for that is the way to the undead. To protect you, I have this. It is the host. It serves to protect in daylight. Will you allow me, Mina?
Yes, yes.
I place it on your forehead, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the
Holy Spirit. Get it off! Get it off!
My sweet, sweet Mina!
Unclean! Even the Almighty shuns me. How it hurts me.
You may wear that scar till the day of judgment, but it shall be washed away then, for God will know what you are, Mina. We promise to release you from it, and from that evil. So,
We begin in Piccadilly.
Arthur, time to do your act, my friend.
Hello there. What's this then? A breaking and a entering in broad daylight?
Exactly. Stupidly locked myself out. Ha! Deuce of a job fighting a locksmith.
I know him, sir. Good man. Trustworthy. You can't be too careful, sir.
Yeah. There we go, sir.
Thank you. Indeed.
Thank you, sir. Really nice of you.
Right, old boy. Sorry to keep you waiting on the step like this. The old man would say. Thank you, Constable.
Very good, sir.
Quite the thespian art. I take my hat off.
Enter, gentlemen. As I thought. The smell is the same. We have little time. We search, we find what we find, and close them to him.
I'll go upstairs.
And you have the crucifix.
You don't think he's here yet?
At all times, my friend. Take it at all times. Harker and I will do this floor. Call if you find anything.
Professor! Down here!
I come. Yeah, good, good. Nothing upstairs. So, 8 boxes here to deal with. Undo as before. I put in small piece of holy wafer on the earth bed inside each box, and so, no home for Dracula is available here. Good, my friend.
Look, leases on 3 London properties.
Good man.
Anything else?
Keys, damn it! In this bag, keys. We have him. Quincy and I will go to these properties and search out any more boxes.
And we wait here for the count.
And I will wipe him off the face of creation with this kukri. I will take his head off.
My dear boy, evil is not wiped out by evil. The vampire cannot change to sunset. Arthur, Quincy, you go do what you have to. We wait.
I'll go. Be careful now. Be careful. Damn it! 6 boxes in each place, each one destroyed by the vampire.
Bermondsey and Hackney, they were disgusting places. Still, it's done.
Shh. Be quiet. Shh. 8.
Oh, Dracula! He's mine! You damn sheep! You think I have no place to rest? I have just begun. The girls you loved, mine already.
You stay back.
The wind, back away.
Be my creatures. You will be my jackals when I want to be. Your wives, my pools of blood.
We'll never catch him.
We burn everything that may be of use here. And then we go back to Madame Mina and plan again. We know from the list of the shipper he has 1 more earth box, so he must go to it. And then we must find him. So.
Hypnotize you? Yes, of course I can, my dear lady. Of course, but why?
He said I would go to him if I...
Yes. Yes, quite so.
He is not about me now. I feel free of him. I wonder, though, if I can still go to him. Find him in my mind, my innermost mind.
Oh, my dear Madame Mina, but you are a wonder. You are a miracle. Harker, what do you have for a wife but a miracle, yeah?
Can you do it, man?
Well, you ask the Professor von Helsing hypnotizer. You ask if the moon follow the sun. Yeah, here, now. We do it now. Sit, relax, close your mind to everything but this watch in this hand.
Very well, Professor. How will you begin?
You will go to sleep when I count to 5. You will hear me and answer me, and when I count backwards from 5, you wake and not remember nothing at all. I count slowly now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you sleep. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I want you to go deep into your mind. Deep, deep, deep. I want you to find...
She's quiet.
You are deep asleep. What do you see?
It is dark. All dark. I hear water.
Water and...
Gurgling. Little waves slapping. outside, I hear men stamping overhead. Yes. Yes, a chain and a clanking, rattling, straining sound.
What are you doing?
I am sleeping. It is so still. Like death.
Enough. Five,
death.
Four,
like
three, two,
death.
One. You can wake now. Safe.
Very well, Professor. How will you... Oh, I'm sorry. Have I spoiled it?
No, you were excellent. There is not a moment to lose. He is on a ship. We know that much. And it is weighing anchor. How can we know which ship?
Lloyd's.
I beg your pardon?
Lloyd's. They register the movements of every ship in the port of London and where it goes and when. We can find which ship weighed anchor at what time is it? 9:15 exactly.
Magnificent! He think he escaped, but we follow. Tally-ho! Go, get on your red frock, Lord Arthur, and find the news from Lloyd's. Our fox is wily, but we can find him, and find him we must.
But why, if he's leaving?
He can live for centuries, Madame Mina, and you are only mortal. He called you soon. Time is now to be dreaded since he puts that mark on your throat.
No, no.
Hurry, Professor. Nearly missed a train.
I had some things to get. Also, a parcel for Mr. Morris.
Hurry up! We're off!
Nothing like cutting it fine, gentlemen.
On your account, it seems.
Not entirely. Some bullets, Mr. Morris, for your excellent rifles.
Yes, thanks.
And also the latest edition of Lloyd's shipping list. The ship we want.
The Tsarina Catherine.
I talked to the agent before coming to the station, and he said there was a gentleman came with a box to be loaded. A heavy box. It is on the boat for sure. And if the box is, then Count Dracula is too.
We make progress, you see. And from the list, we see where it should come into port. Here, Tsarina Katerina, yeah. Calling at, well, nowhere until Varna.
I want to say something important. Mm-hmm. If I can go into his place, if I can see with my innermost mind where he is... As soon as we get closer, he may begin to use me to try to find what our plans may be. I ask you to tell me nothing.
Madame, as always we are in your debt. You have such clear sightings.
And also, I have to ask what each of you will give, not your lives. I know you would do that to remove this scarf from me, I know that. But will you give me this? Promise me, one by one, even you, my darling husband... That should the time come, you will kill me.
What is that time?
When you shall be convinced that I am so changed that it is better that I die. And then, when dead, cut off my head and drive a stake through me and give me rest.
Ma'am, I swear by all I hold dear and good that should that time ever come, I shall not flinch from my duty laid on me by you. I promise that I shall make your rest certain.
My dear friend.
I swear it.
I too swear it.
Yes, I swear.
Must I? Must I, my dear Mina?
You too, my dearest, yes. We are one for all time, you and I. Remember the mercy Dr. Van Helsing showed in Lucy's case. Show it to me.
I swear I shall do it.
And now, please... Read the service for the burial of the dead, that it may be done for me.
In the midst of life, we are in death. Of whom may we seek for succor but of thee? Ellie,
Galmurith!
Salzburg! Put up here!
In Hauptbahnhof!
Sophia! Varna! Anna! Anna!
Oh, damn that agent. Where's his office?
Seafront, they said.
How do you think Mina's bearing, huh? Get out of the way, damn your eyes.
I'm afraid for her. She is very quiet, not her usual self. Helsing is worried. Over there. Look,
that's the name.
Ah, These people stink. Come on, man.
The Tsarina is coming, sure. But now he's changed her mind. Oh, not coming to Varna.
But she is scheduled to...
This is a tramp ship. Goes where the cargo is. Oh. I tell him I have cargo waiting alongside his berth. He says, not calling Varna. Going to Galatz, he said. This is Varna, my friend.
Fog. I see fog. And I hear the sea very soft. Very quiet. Lapping. Close inshore. Now, nothing. Nothing.
I'm very worried, my boy. Mina has been lethargic for 3 days now and gives nothing in the trance.
No. Fog, she said. Ship close in.
Just where? How close and where? She is being used, my friend. I am very much afraid for her. See her teeth? Hmm? See, look.
Nothing unusual?
I watch and look every day. If they change, if they grow sharp, then we know our duty to her. At present, the Count does not want her. He is sure she will come when he call. We must find the ship. So, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Awake now, Madame Mina.
Was it the same?
It was good.
And when we get to Galatz, what then? How do we find the ship?
Well, the captain, according to Lloyd's list, is a Scot, it seems.
If a man with half a throat torn out is dead, then he's dead as mutton. Found in the local kirkyard, with not a drop of blood in his body, so it seems.
And the box?
Would that give a damn for that box? Delivered, passage paid, and I'm free and away from this God-benighted place as soon as I can get up steam. Sure you don't fancy a dram.
Oh, good job. Yes.
He'd get the box away. He killed the only man knowing where he might take himself. Look, here, the mouth of the river. Madame Mina heard it, you see. The river, the oars, gypsies, no doubt, taking him home.
But you say he hates water.
Yeah, so? What you do if you're running? You want to reach safety, you go the way least expected.
Of course.
The pirate go by river, going full speed for his castle, his refuge.
Then all we have to do is get there before him.
We split up the party.
I'm not so sure about that.
Lord Arthur, did you purchase that launch?
Oh, it's a beauty. River launch, steam, built in Glasgow. Yes, I got her.
Good.
What is going on?
We go differing ways. I go with Madame Mina by coach. Mr. Morris, can you ride?
You want me to buy horses?
Yeah.
Reckon it done.
John.
Yes.
You go with Mr. Morris and Harker upriver. If he does leave the river, telegraph to the towns along my route.
Mm-hmm. So we take the trail up the bank of the river.
Share it as far as the town of Fundu. And then the river is joined by, the Bistrica. Mm-hmm. And see the loop here? Mm-hmm. The Borgo Pass. And there. There is Castle Dracula.
Had one of these on Windermere. My father was crazy about steam. Wonderful! I say, old boy, I'm sorry. Worried about the dear girl.
She's safe with Van Helsing. I was thinking back to the beginning. I have never, ever been so afraid and so alone.
Yes. Well, we'll get him. We will.
Stop, Quincy.
Horses are good for another hour. How do you reckon Mina is bearing up?
Van Helsing is desperately afraid. She is nearly out of our hands.
Mina, are you asleep?
No. I am afraid. We travel closer by the minute to that hellish place. I've read my dear husband's journal. I know what I might be. Part of that place where every speck of dust that whirls in the wind is a devouring monster and embryo. Have you felt the vampire's lips upon your throat? I am afraid. I wish we had not come.
Did they tell you anything?
Not a great deal. One of the younger men said something about a big flat boat coming up very fast with a heavy cargo. Oh, can we get any more speed out of this damn launch?
Not against the stream like this. If he's coming off the river, we're close to the gorge of Bistrica, and that's where Van Helsing thought he'd head. I told Arthur we'd meet just below the gorge.
See, Professor, The snow...
Not thick yet. Are you warm enough?
I'm buried in furs. I'm warm and I'm sleepy. I want to sleep all the time.
I know.
Is it wrong? Oh, no. Does it mean...
We must get on faster.
We're close. We are close.
How do you know?
I know. I just know. You hear it?
Yes, I hear it. We will meet on this road with the others, as planned.
You see them?
A dozen gypsies and a guard. And
the box. See? Lifted off the boat and onto the ox cart.
What say we take them now?
2 against 12, no. We find Helsing and take them in ambush, as planned.
You must eat, Mina. Please eat.
I'm not hungry. What are you doing?
I'm drawing a ring round us, and over it, I crumble the holy wafer, and we are protected. So, and so, you are guarded.
Oh, it's cold. So cold. What's that?
I'll see to the horse.
No, no, wait. Don't go outside the circle, don't.
It's all right, Mina. It's for your safety, not mine.
I am safer than you. I am safer than anyone from them. See them.
What? That in the mist.
Oh, my God. Oh. We must say to Jesus, save us.
Yes.
Come, sister. Come. Come to us. You'll be with us soon. So white, so pale. See, in her neck, in her neck. It drops. Blood drops there. Come, sister. Come.
It's over. They've gone. Mina, oh, my dear child.
They were here. It was not a dream. Yes. They were the same that Jonathan saw.
Yes. And today, I have to go to the castle and do for them what we did for poor Lucy.
You won't leave me.
You're safe in this ring and in daylight. Listen. John Seward and the good Quincy Morris. Welcome, gentlemen. Come,
Quincy.
Come, warm yourselves. Did you see anything?
The box. And a dozen or more gypsies about 2 hours behind us.
Quincy, he must not get to the castle.
I have my bowie knife, sir. I'll take his heart out. There they are.
See? Shooting sitting birds. Mm-hmm. Where the devil are the other two?
Hold on. See, through the trees? Back a bit. To the right. There.
You're right. Harker and Arthur.
Jonathan!
You must keep your head down, ma'am. This is going to be ugly work.
We must give the gypsies a chance.
Or a shot over their heads.
Uh-huh.
Fine by me. You set?
Yes.
Dina, come down at the lock. Stop here. They're ripping up the horses.
They're making a run for the castle.
Stop them.
Sure will.
It's out of control.
Oh, my.
You look at that.
It's over. The box has burst open.
I'll get his heart.
No, Quincy! No!
Quincy!
I'm coming with you, Quincy! Arthur, cover me!
Right on, boy! Go!
Come on, you! I'll take you!
Behind you, Quincy!
I've got him!
I think you got me, Jonathan.
I'm gonna get me that drop if I have to crawl to hell and back.
Cover us!
Turn him over. See, the blood still running from his mouth. See, dear God, filthy, filthy.
The kill, get in for the kill.
Oh, no.
He never did a better job than this. And this. And this. His head. Oh.
He's gone. Look at that. Gone to dust.
Hush. Please. Quincy, you dear man. You're hurt.
No, ma'am. Not hurt. Dying. Ask the doctors. They'll tell you Quincy Morris just cashed in.
Oh, no. No, please, no.
Oh. Only too glad to have been of service, ma'am.
It was worth this to die. Look, my friends. Look on her face, her dear face. There is no scar. No scar on that sweet forehead. It's gone. And left purity. Ah, it is done.
In the seventh and final episode of Dracula, the cast was as follows. Mina was played by Phyllis Logan, Dr. John Seward by Peter Blyth, Van Helsing by Finlay Welsh, and Renfield by David McHale. Quincy Morris was played by Paul Burchard, Arthur Homewood by Crawford Logan, Jonathan Harker by Bernard Holly, the locksmith was played by Michael Elder, the agent by Andrew Conlon, and the three vampire women were played by Wendy Seeger, Monica Gibb, and Amanda Whitehead, with a guest star appearance by Frederick Jaeger as Count Dracula. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clark in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Technical presentation was by Jim Ross, Lee MacPhail, and Christopher Lambton. Dracula was written by Bram Stoker, adapted for radio by Nick McCarty, and produced in our Edinburgh studios by Hamish Wilson.